Blog Talk Radio.
One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it. I'm not to be played with, because it could get dangerous. See these people I ride with.
And the same ones that I ride with be the same ones that I die with. Put it all out on the line with. If you're looking for me, you can find wit in the new car or the crown wit. My new broad does a fine chick in the weather squad I'm down with. Ain't no way around it. What you say? Tell me what you say. Working hard, repping for my dogs. Do this every day. Taking off, looking out for all. Making sure we ball like the mob. All you do is call. Catch you if you fall. Young Khalifa.
I never fear death or dying. I only fear never trying. Judge me now.
One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it.
I ride a guy
to be played with, because it could get dangerous. See,
I ride a guy,
people I ride with. This moment, we own it.
This the biggest day of my life. We got big guns. Been graduated from knives. It's the day of my life and I'm ready to ride. Got the spirit, I'm feeling like a kill inside. Oh, financial outbreak, I'm free but I ain't out yet. Ride with the plug so I'm close to the outlet. At the red light rim sitting offset. I look better on your girl than
her outfit.
Stuck to the plan. Always said that we would stand up, never ran. We the family, loyalty never change up. Been down since day one, look at where we came from. Jumping out on anybody who try to say something. One thing about it, got a problem, I got the same one. Money rolls, we fold. Plenty clubs, we close. Follow the same code. Never turn our backs, our cars don't even lose control.
One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it.
I ride a guy
to be played with, because it could get dangerous.
I ride a guy,
people I ride with. This moment, we own it.
All right, everyone. Good evening. I'm your host, Brian, also known as Onyx. I hope everyone's having a great week. I know I have. Things have been very, very busy. But on the positive side, also, wow. Where to start? For those of you who are following me on Facebook, the group on Facebook. We are branching out. I mentioned a little bit about this before. We are about to start up a North Texas division of the group, which will specify in cryptids, specifically Sasquatch, and they will be centered and focusing on the Sulphur River Bottom area around Falk, Arkansas. That's one division. We are also starting up a Pennsylvania division, which will be mostly ghost. For now, we're in the process of debating doing a Sasquatch thing because Pennsylvania is a Sasquatch hotspot. And here's something that just came up in the last couple of days. I have a friend who lives in Oregon who wants to start up an Oregon division of my paranormal group up there, also specializing in Sasquatch. The reason I'm bringing all this up, because this whole month I'm going to do a series of Sasquatch theme episodes. We're not going to talk about anything extraterrestrial this month. We're not going to talk about ghosts. It's going to be nothing but Sasquatch. So that being said, I have a number of different guests lined up. This week, my guest is my friend and colleague, Alan Thomas. Alan has been on such shows as Finding Bigfoot, Monsters and Mysteries. He's also part of Paranormal Central, as well as I am. Alan's going to be joining us here shortly. We're going to be talking about Sasquatch and a few of his encounters and just sharing our knowledge regarding the subject. Next week I have some guests lined up. I'll get to that at the end of the show. We'll discuss all that. And then the following week I also have a guest lined up as well. Alan and I are going to chit-chat for a little bit, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines for you guys. And you can share your stories, your experience. If you have any questions for either myself or Alan, feel free to let us know, and we'll try to answer them to the best of our abilities. Remember, guys, there's no experts in the field of Sasquatch. Until we actually have one, whether it's a body or whether it's a live specimen, and it's scientifically proven beyond the shadow of a doubt to exist, there really are no experts. I mean, we're all just enthusiasts, and a lot of it is just speculation on what we may think they do and how they act, and what we may think, everything about them, their whole living conditions, everything along those lines. It's also based on a lot of different reports that we have read. A lot of the research that was done, but again, you don't know, because not everyone can be 100% truthful on a report. So you've got to kind of take what you can and process it and come to the best conclusion that you can on it. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring Alan online with me. Hey, Alan, you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. It's good to be here, man.
I'm glad to have you here. Fill us in a little bit on yourself, Alan, and a little bit of your background. You and I have talked extensively in private over the last couple of days and hit it off really, really well. But yeah, if you can, fill our listeners in.
Oh, okay. I'm a mountain boy, grew up in Yosemite National Park, grew up reloading my own ammo, learned how to track when I was like 5 or 6 years old, hunted all the way until I saw a Bigfoot, and I quit hunting animals and I started researching and hunting and looking for Bigfoot. And a few years ago, started our own little team, and then went on the air with it, and now we're, going crazy with that. like really crazy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you've been sharing some of the details with me, and I don't know how much of what's going on or what's upcoming that you could talk about, on the air. But if you can, please feel free to.
What's really cool is we started off kind of like, a little bitty live stream show, but we talk about everything paranormal, and we go on our own ghost hunts. We have all the equipment for it. We do UFOs. We have a 24-hour hotline number that people can call, and we go out and we investigate UFOs, and we also investigate the Bigfoot and research it our own self. You know what I mean? Go out and do it, not read stories and let somebody go do it for us. We do all this our own self. And then we started by, just reporting it on our own show, and it started getting pretty popular, and people started asking if they could come on this show, and we started taking guests. Now we're getting some pretty good guests. Then a couple of months ago, Art Bell invited us to the Dark Matter Radio Network, and it took off after that. So the paranormal and especially the Bigfoot side of it is getting really big. I mean, it's really drawing the numbers in. Like, in fact, I heard this new show that Les Stroud did, Bigfoot. Survivor Man Bigfoot.
Yep, yep.
We had five times the ratings of his normal show. And he's actually negotiating a new contract over it, you know, because, you know, he did so well on that, and he wants to do some more on that. He's not done, you know, looking for Bigfoot. He's going to go do it some more.
I mean, Les is a straight shooter, man. A lot of people take Les seriously. I watched both episodes of the show, and I liked it from Les's point of view. I don't want to bash anyone, but the person that was with him, I would prefer he have chosen someone else. If you understand what I'm talking about,
I think Les Stroud is from Canada,
right?
Okay, and I think he picked Todd Standing because, you know, some of his stuff is questionable, or, you know, like you could go one way or the other on it. Some people say it's fake. Some people say it's not, you know, and it's like a big old fight over it right now.
Yeah,
but then some of it is, yeah. Some of it, though, like what he showed on the show, those big old tree structure things.
Yeah.
And the broken trees in the trail, you know, like leaving a boundary of where, you know, where he says, you know.
I think for me, if he would have just went on the show, or if he'd have just said, "Hey, look, I'm a Sasquatch researcher. Let's go out there and see what we can find." If they would have been that, but what bothered me the most is the inclusion of these photographs and these video
the
clips.
Pictures.
Yeah. If he'd have left that out completely, then in my opinion, it would have led more credence to the show.
Yeah, but see, we look at it through a different lens. You know what I mean? Like, they're
trying to
trying to, like, appeal to a really broad audience. You know what I mean? Like, believers, non-believers, people that don't even know what a Bigfoot is, you know, armchair TV watchers, that's all they do. So they're trying to appeal to the whole thing, and that right there makes good TV. And that's why the ratings are so high, you know.
When I saw
if he tried to just appease me and you, he would have really a narrow.
That's true.
Wouldn't have a big audience at all.
That's true. In my opinion, he'd have been better off going with the Patterson-Gimlin film. But that's just my opinion. When I first saw
that one's kind of beat to death, though. You know, everybody's done it. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's true. When I first saw the image of the one supposed Sasquatch that we now know was actually Todd Standing Photoshop. But when I first saw that image, I'm looking at the mustache on this thing, and I'm thinking, oh my Lord, you mean to tell me that Sasquatch can trim his mustache and beard better than I can? I mean, come on, who's his barber, you know?
I'm not really sure if it's fake or not still. I'm on the fence. Anybody could shrink a head or, you know, like Todd Standing's face or whatever and make it fit in there and overlay
true.
It and say it's fake. But, like, for me, like, when I first saw Bigfoot, I thought it was a man. It didn't have the big sagittal crest on top of its head. When it got down to where it was really close to us after, and I watched it for, like, I mean, almost 2 hours, I'm thinking, you know, I know it was over an hour, but between, you know, 1 hour and 2 hours, I'm not sure, you know. I just know that when it stopped in front of me and was looking a little, like, to my left past me, the sun lit it up, and it lit up its whole body, you know, and it was so well-groomed, and it looked like a basketball star. It was...
Alan,
real trim, and I mean, he looked good. You know what I mean? This thing looked really good. And
right,
I always thought, like,
calm down.
I always thought, like, the ones on the TV, you know, like the ones they show on Finding Bigfoot, all clunky and long hair and scraggly and matted and all that. I mean, that's my vision of what I thought the Bigfoot was. You know, but not all well-groomed and, I mean, shiny black fur, like so pretty, you know. And then when he took off running, I was like, oh, my God. You know, that thing could rip the door off of my truck right now.
Well, the ones that I've seen in my lifetime, they were at a good distance, and it was mostly silhouette. I couldn't make out facial features or anything like that. But, I mean, Alan, I mean, the Todd Standing thing. I mean, this thing's beard was trimmed better than those damn Just for Men commercials. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it really did. It does look too pretty. You know, it really does. But supposedly it's only 5 years old. So, I mean, it wouldn't have, maybe it hasn't. I'm giving it to him, you know.
I'm giving it to him on that. Yeah, I'm not talking about the shaved Ewok one. I'm talking about the other one that, you know, looks like a mix between Chewbacca with a fake beard on, you know.
Oh, there's like two of them. The one that blinks, is that the one you're talking about? Yeah, that one's 5 years old.
Not the blinking one, the other one.
Oh, the one that looked like it had... The one that looked like it had a skin on its face, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That whole trimmed around the lips perfectly, and I mean, come on,
uh-huh.
Dude. You know, I got a goatee. I can't even get my stuff to look that good, you know?
Me either. Yeah, but, well, those things right there, I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence still, only because of all his other evidence. If you could shoot holes in everything he had, then it was like, why are you faking that when you have... I mean, I'm like the Les Stroud guy. The trees, they're old. They're older than, you know, Todd, and they're stuck in there where a man couldn't even do it. Why are you even going to fake a face when you have that right there? That right there had me, you know, sold in 2 seconds.
Well, the thing
is,
just
from what I've seen in the woods, you know.
And I don't want to talk about Todd, you know, all night. But yeah, Todd had.
I get you.
Todd had all these. He had these images and videos before Les did the show, and I'm sure Les or the production crew or whatever talked to him and said, "Hey, do you have any kind of stock?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got these." So you know, who knows? The production crew may have not even suspected that they were fake. But
man. They look good, that's for sure. Better than anything we ever got. You know, and we have some stuff. Our team has come up with I catch it, man. I got these really short little video pieces, and one of them is standing by a big boulder, and he's about 1,000 yards away, and the problem is they don't move. They will stand there and not do anything, and then as soon as you move to get a better shot, they're gone. They're like disappeared.
Right. This is what I don't understand about Todd's footage. I could see at a distance, yeah. But if you're that close to not one but two Sasquatch, close enough to capture their face, why would you stop filming? Why would it only be that little short segment? Why would you not sit there and wait until – I mean, come on. You've got the best evidence in the world right there. Why not sit there and video them getting up, standing up, walking away? Well,
he might have it, and he ain't releasing it. I have some friends that have some serious good Bigfoot stuff, and they don't even show like a clip to you, not even a screenshot. But
we
can't even talk him out of it.
I mean, we're talking about Todd Standing, though. If you're gonna give a face shot, what's wrong with giving a zoomed out body shot? You know, I mean, if you're gonna go that far, you might as well go all the damn way.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing he shows is the one they showed on Finding Bigfoot, where he's the thing's up on the side of the hill, and that one looks. Finding Bigfoot said it was fake, you know, and it climbed a couple of steps and then ducked down.
Yeah,
the other one was where it went on the side of the hill, you know, and it was that probably was one right there because no man could go on the side of the hill like that, you know, and take off.
They
but you can't see it that good either, you know.
See,
yeah, I mean, it's all questionable.
I've had interactions with BFRO, so I know that they want to be the only ones with the evidence. They want what you have, basically. So I can see, even watching the show, I can see a little bit of animosity from them towards Todd. They really put him on blast. Now you,
they did me too. Really,
that's
they
what
said mine was a bear. You know, they said mine was a bear.
You were on Finding Bigfoot, and share a little bit with us about your story.
Well, really, it was our team, and we went in. It was our Memorial Day, and that's something that we talked about. You know, they locked the gate every fall, so then all winter long, we know there's a family of Bigfoots living down in this valley, and all winter long, the gates close. There's nobody really going in there. If you go in there, you have to hike, and not many people do that. Then on Memorial Day, they open the gate. So then we make sure that we're down in there on the very first day they open the gate, because the Bigfoot have been running around and had the whole place to themselves, and they're more brave. You know, they're not as weary or anything. They'll come right in to the camp and stuff in the night. And we had to leave. It started snowing. It's really hard to get in there. There's puddles that are half a car deep, you know, and you can barely get in and out. So we got out. We left a couple cars. When we came back, Jeffrey left his laptop in one of them, and we had to drive back, and him and my brother walked down in there. And they came back with these pictures of these trees blocking the road. And one of them was the size of a phone pole, and it was laying long ways on the road, not across the road, but long ways. Like, I think the Bigfoot knows, you know, like the tree falls across the road, and the man comes along and cuts it and rolls it out of the way, right?
Right, right.
And then drives their car through. This one put it long ways, like 14 feet long, big old giant log right on the crest of the top of the road, and no branches broken or anything. Took five guys to get it off the road. So, and it was like, who put that there? It wasn't there yesterday, you know. Then when we got over there, then there was these prints on the window. And as soon as I saw it, I knew what it was. I mean, it was a Bigfoot print. And we have a friend that's, he works for the police department. He's a CSI guy, you know, does the murders and all that stuff. And we called him up, and we were taking the truck out of there, and we told him, man, we want you to do a workup on this. You know, do your whole thing, the DNA, pictures, fingerprints, everything. Because it had what Cliff Barackman on Finding Bigfoot said was paw prints. Okay, that kind of looked like it was knuckles leaned up, you know, like he pressed the knuckles up on the window. But what they never told you on Finding Bigfoot was the opposed thumb that was down on the door.
Yep.
On both sides, right? So what other animal in the woods has a gorilla face that the police, you know, our CSI guy compared it to every animal on his own? This is without us telling him anything. He comes back and tells us that the only animal that matches that print on your window is a gorilla. And then he said, you know, but they didn't say that. They just said, they just talked about this paw print, and they didn't talk about the opposed thumb that was down like 9 inches down. The paw print was on the glass, and then the opposed thumb was way down on the door. They didn't talk about that. And then they also didn't do, on the back of the window, the front window was clear, right? So all it had really was a nose print and snot running off of the nose and lips, just like if you kissed a window with the lines of your lips and everything. It was all in there like if somebody kissed it with lipstick. You could see it perfect. And the snot running down. The one on the back had a whole side of the face, chest, shoulder of print of a Bigfoot. And everybody was like, why? Couldn't figure it out. And I told him, man, the back window is security glass. And that Bigfoot doesn't know that it could walk up there and you know, put its hand up and, like, shade its eyes and see in the glass.
Yeah.
So the only way he could see in it was he was putting his face up there, and pretty soon he had his whole face and chest up against there, and he was looking with one eye in there. And when we did do the DNA on it, we took the DNA, and it came back human. And that's when the professor stopped. You know, he's like, oh, man, you guys contaminated. You contaminated the DNA, you know, and we're like devastated, like, wow. But then this Melba Ketchum and her stuff comes out, you know, I don't know how many, 300 and something or 600, I can't remember how many.
Right.
But it comes back human. All of her stuff comes back human, and then when they go into the nuclear DNA, then they find out that it's like just a little bit not human. Mostly human, and then there's just a little piece, like a percentage, 3%, 2%, something like that, that's not human.
Right.
And we thought, man, if we would have went deeper in ours, we probably would have found that out. But, you know, that was as far as that professor was willing to go, you know, at that point. He thought we, you know.
Well, yeah, because it's not cheap.
I mean, you're right. It isn't. It isn't cheap, you know. Yeah, no, it costed a pretty penny to do it. But we're satisfied that there was 5 ice chests in the back of the truck that we left and had half cooked roast, barbecued chicken, you name it, man. It had enough food for 3 days. We were only there the one day, and we left the very next morning.
Oh man,
so it had all this food.
I need to go squashing with y'all.
Yeah. Oh man, we go like we're kings, man. I mean. But if there was a bear, and there is bears there, right?
Granola bars only go so far. Yeah, bars aren't cutting it, man. You guys got the hookup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would love for you to come out there. Because everybody that we take, they go in thinking that, you know, there's no such thing as a Bigfoot, and they come out knowing. They're knowers. They're not just believers. They're knowers. You know,
yeah.
They know there is. And it's fun.
Like,
it's scary,
it's
too,
same,
though.
Oh, I mean, you know I'm going to be out there with you guys eventually. It's the same here for me. I mean, everybody that goes out with me, they're all like, la, 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 la. And then you get some kind of howl or roar or something thrown at you, and they're like, oh, my God, there is something out here.
Yeah. Yeah, like, what was that? I never heard anything like that in my life.
You know. And that brings up a subject that you and I were discussing earlier also. You know, I've been here this week. I've been on a lot of these websites, and I've read some of the things that are posted. And for the most part, a lot of people, they have some good ideas, and they have some good, speculations. But there's some that are just completely out of this world. And I have to sit here and say, have you ever been out in the woods? Do you go out in the woods at night? I mean, or do you just sit on your couch and watch these stupid ass shows? You know, and it's.
I'm pretty sure most people learn everything from those shows.
Well, you know, the shows are good in the fact that they put the information out there and they're drawing people into it. But I mean, come on, get out there. I really can't stress this enough. You know, and I tell people all the time. I said, come out there with me. You know, you don't believe? Come out there with me. I guarantee you, after a couple of nights out there, you'll change your mind.
Well, you know, that's like a sore spot with me on the ones that have a lot to say and they don't go. You know.
Well, like I told you,
I have a reason. I could stay home and sit in my wheelchair. You know what I mean?
And
I could stay there. And really, if they look at a map of Bigfoot sightings, there's one probably close to anybody anywhere in the United States, you know,
right.
That they can, within driving time.
Yeah.
And they could go out there, you know, and they could do something about it, you know. And then they could watch Finding Bigfoot. The good thing about Finding Bigfoot, those guys have been doing it for 25 years. You know, between them all, there's like, I don't know, 100 years of Bigfoot
research. But at the same time, that is their downfall. Because you've got
what they do.
Who thinks he knows
what
everything.
What they do.
And, And that's the problem with these websites is, and it's like me and you talked earlier before the show, everybody believes that they are right.
Yeah, oh my God,
But come on, you know, until these things are 100% scientifically proven to exist, I hate to tell you, but nobody knows shit about them.
Well, you know, even if somebody shoots one and brings a body in, we'll know what it looks like, we'll know what it's made of, but we still don't know what it does.
That's exactly the
point. Know?
You know, when I say no one will
know, we don't know how it lives, you know.
I mean, we know about them based on reports and based on our own interaction with them, but until they're actually studied in their natural habitat, scientifically, and I mean, I see people on these websites getting mad, getting angry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Why are you getting angry about something that officially doesn't even exist?
That's pretty funny. Yeah. I mean, you say it really doesn't, you know.
I know they're real because I've seen. You know they're real because you've seen. But for the most part, you're arguing over something that anyone can come back and say, well, why is it not recognized by the United States, and why is it not recognized by science? You're arguing, in a skeptic's mind, you're arguing and getting angry over nothing because it hasn't been proven to exist.
Well, a lot of times their argument it flies in the face of real, you know, research of what people do know. You know, I mean, you're like, what? Where did they even come up with that? Like, when you talk about the government, I think the government knows and has been researching them.
Oh, I agree.
We were talking earlier, I lived in Oregon, and Mount St. Helens blew up. And all my neighbors and friends, they all work for the forestry department. So they immediately got called up to go up there and search for dead people, you know, in where everything got blown down by the volcano. And my neighbor, he was told to report at a certain place, and when he showed up, he got stopped by some military on the road, and they had it cordoned off, you know, roped off. And he was standing there talking to them. They said, you know, they'll open it up in a little while, but, you know, they're doing something over there. And they had a helicopter sitting there, military helicopter, idling, you know, just sitting there, a bunch of people around there. All of a sudden, the helicopter took off, and it came his way and flew over him, and about 25 feet above his head, it was hauling this big net, and he could see a hand hanging out of it, you know, a hairy hand, and he realized it was hairy people, hairy things like Bigfoot. You know, he could see the Bigfoots in there. You know, and they told him, when he started getting all excited, you know, like, hey, you know, oh my God, did you see that? You know, they told him, you didn't see nothing. You know, you don't know nothing, you didn't see nothing, you know, don't go spreading that around.
Well, that's right.
He didn't. Yeah, you know?
That's right. I believe the same thing. I believe that the government is well aware of these things existing. Anytime anyone gets any kind of substantial, really substantial evidence and are close to proving it to the world, I believe that the government come in and kind of take over all of it. And, I was told so many different tales about the government's involvement with these creatures that it's not even funny. You know, incidents happen. And a lot of them are actual Sasquatch, and the stories are, from the government side, the stories are, oh, it was a grizzly attack.
Right.
Or it was a mountain lion attack. You know, and there's been...
I can't say names, but it was, and I won't say what county, but it was a sheriff, okay?
Yes.
And he was patrolling the mountains, and he actually hit one with his truck, totaled his truck. And then he had to, you know, he had to call in and say he needed a tow truck. And when he told his boss, you know, what happened, everything was cool till the next day. He got called in, and they told him, you know, don't tell anybody how you wreck your truck. Here's a new truck. You know, just don't tell anybody what happened or what you hit or, you know, nothing. He retired, and then he started telling us stuff, you know, what he knows.
See, and that's the thing that's what I think, that's what I believe happens is when there's incidents like that, 9 times out of 10, the first thing people are going to do is they're going to call their local law enforcement. And then that local law enforcement is going to come out. They're going to see what's going on. They are not going to really, unless there's some protocol, they're not going to really know what to do about it. So they're going to contact someone higher. That person is going to contact someone even higher. And it's going to keep going up until someone finally says, nothing happened.
Right. That happens a lot.
I mean, you know, and people, there are people who are naive and they don't think all that. But, I mean, come on. Do you guys live on the same planet as us? I mean, do you not see what's going on in the world around you? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to insult anyone, believe me. But let's just say
we've been attacked, man.
I mean,
we've come out with stuff and we got flat out attacked by people for what we believe or say. Now I just go and I just say what I know and I leave it all to the people, you know. And I still sit there and shake my head when I read some of the stuff, but I put out there what I know, and that's it, and they can make their own decision. But, you know, they shouldn't really make fun of anybody that's out in the field, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, at least we're out there doing it and trying, you know. And it's like I said to someone this very week, whether I go out there and see a Sasquatch or get an audio or anything, or not. It doesn't matter to me because it's gorgeous out there. I love it out there. I'm still out there enjoying myself in peace and quiet nature. And let me tell you something. For you guys who've never done it, there is nothing more beautiful than being in the middle of the woods at night with the full moon or any bright moonlight shining through those trees. There's nothing like it.
Oh, man, you're right. I love it. That's actually my favorite part. I mean, we spend a lot of money on this stuff, and we go out there, and it is beautiful. Only I got to say, though, I'm afraid a lot of times.
Really?
These things, yeah. What I saw run was huge, and then I really wasn't – I was, like, apprehensive. Like, it changed me. I didn't walk near big trees or rocks or anything that anything could hide behind. I made like a big wide circle around stuff, right, if I could, because I knew they could disappear. You know, they're like forest ninjas. But then I started working in the gaming casino.
you use that terminology a lot, and I think it's pretty accurate.
Oh, it's way accurate. I mean, if they knew what I know, these things, because I learned how to track. When we go in an area where there's Bigfoot, I found sign where there was no cover for it except for the weeds, and it laid down and crawled away, you know, and so that it wouldn't be seen.
Yeah.
It uses trees to get by. It'll get a tree between you and it, and it'll go straight away from you with that tree between you and it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like
I
a
mean,
ninja,
I've,
you know what I mean?
That's
a ninja right there.
I've had, and there was witnesses with me, I've had, I wouldn't say rocks, but more like those big hazelnuts or acorns or sticks. I've had that thrown in a certain area, and we would look in that area, and then a little while later, another one would get thrown, and everyone would look in the area where it was thrown. I happened to turn my head the opposite direction and saw one jump across the highway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just 1 foot hit the middle of it, and then it was over. That right there, I never had that happen before. But that right there kind of clued me into, okay, the rock throwing was not to get us to go away. The rock throwing was to distract us so it could get away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like you watch the old movies, you know, like the cowboy and Indian movies, and they'll throw a rock, you know.
And the person will turn to shoot.
Distract the person.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It is exactly what that thing's doing. Exactly. But, you know,
and,
like.
You know, I've talked to you. You know, you said you felt scared. I've talked to you about this, and I've had this on previous episodes of my show where Melissa and I were out there, and we had that one roar at us within 50 yards. It was scary, yes, but and if she's listening, I hope she can call in. But we never felt threatened, as in this thing was going to attack us. There was never that feeling. It's just it's scary because we didn't know it was there. We had already made the corner and walked through that area, and once we got onto the crunchy leaves, that's when this thing heard us and roared. So we kind of snuck behind it, and like I told you, we were actually walking through mud puddles to get back there. So I'm wondering if that might have helped cover a little bit of our scent, too.
Maybe you scared it. You know,
that's
like you freaked
thinking.
It
that's
out, me. That you were that close and it didn't know, you know.
Yes, that's the impression that we got. And later that, I mean, we continued on very warily, of course, always looking behind us and checking over our shoulders. In hindsight, probably should have went over there and tried to see what it was. But and I didn't have my audio on me because we weren't planning on doing any audio until we got to our location. I wish I would have because it would have been so perfect. But we finally get to our location, and shortly afterwards we hear what sounds like a coyote. And I've never heard a coyote sound like that. It sounded like it was just getting its ass handed to it. And that was even nearly as scary as the roar.
It probably was a meal. It probably ate the coyote.
Yeah. That's kind of what we were thinking, because after that sound of the coyote getting his ass handed to it, about 15, 20 minutes went by, and we just heard other coyotes doing the normal thing, you know, the yipes in the house. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of like leaning towards, well, maybe the other coyotes came back to the area and picked up the scraps.
Really, huh? Yuck.
But
yeah,
I mean, anyone who does this and does this full time knows that there is an association between coyotes and Sasquatch. Yeah. I mean, I've talked to Cliff Barockman about it. I've talked to Bobo Fay about it. Everyone knows. Now, whether it's the Sasquatch trailing the coyotes or vice versa, we don't know. But there, I mean, nine times out of ten, I know in my area. Nine times out of ten, when I hear coyotes howling, I can always hear something else with them.
Yeah. Wow, man. Well, you know, one of the reasons why I'm more afraid, and I'll admit it, like scared. I told you I grew up in the woods, right? And there was moments. I would be by myself deer hunting on a two-week hunt or something, and all of a sudden, I would be afraid. And I mean, I would be so afraid, I wanted to run, but then you kind of rationalize yourself like, you know, there's nothing here. What am I afraid of, you know?
Well, you know,
after
it's like I told...
After I saw the Bigfoot, and then I had that happen a couple more times in the same area, and I started associating it with the Bigfoot. It was like, oh, man, he's like throwing a fear on me. He was doing it on purpose, throwing a fear. And it was like, whoa, you know, that's a trip. Then I got to know the Indians around here, and I started digging in the history of it, and I found out they were cannibals. Like, for a long time, the Bigfoot would run right through their camp, grab a kid or a young lady, and take off, right? And they would be too afraid of them to do anything because they were big and powerful, and there was always more than one of them, you know. Well, one day it ran off with an important baby, somebody that, you know, was like the chief's kid. And that was enough, you know. They had enough. It was like, that's it. And they tracked this thing and tracked it, and then they found it sitting up in a tree, and it was eating the baby. They caught it eating it, and they killed it.
Someone else recently, in the past 2 weeks, someone else has sent me this story. It was actually posted online. I don't remember who. I'm sorry. I've talked to so many people, I don't remember who it was. But I read that same story.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is their history with it. It was like 700 years ago or something like that. And then that caused a war where that night, like 40-something Bigfoots came through and they killed almost everybody in that village except for two people. And the two people got away and went to the next little village over, and they're all related, cousins and uncles and, brothers and sisters and stuff in the different villages. And then they gathered up like 200 warriors, and they started warring with these things. And finally, they found where these Bigfoots were living at in this cave. And they were trying to get them to come out so they could kill them, and they couldn't get them out, so they set a fire and they smoked them out. And as they came out, they were killing them, And a couple of those got away. They had arrows in them, but they got away. And then I'm kind of like not sure about the details on how this part happened, but only the leader of the Bigfoot, like the chief of the Bigfoot is what they are calling him, came and had a meeting with the chief of their tribe. And not just the one village, they have a whole tribe with multiple villages. And they move the villages, kind of like the Bigfoot does. They follow the food, But anyways, they had a meeting, and they sat down, and they smoked the peace pipe. This is what I was told. They smoked the peace pipe, and they decided on there was going to be certain areas where Bigfoot could go or be safe from them, and they won't go in there. And then the Bigfoot agreed that there was areas that they could run freely, and they will not go and molest them and take their children and young women.
Well, I mean, it makes you wonder about all these certain areas that are wildlife refuge and reserves and everything like that. Why that area?
The area we go in where we know there's a family of them, and we go in there all the time. That's
right.
One of the areas that we found out that the Indians don't go in, that they allowed the Bigfoot to be there unmolested by them. And we had no idea. We were going out there for a long time before we found that out.
There's a Viking tale. In fact, the story of Beowulf is derived from this tale where they have interaction. They have a confrontation with the clan of Sasquatch or Sasquatch-like creatures, I should say. And these Sasquatch attack a hall, one of their halls, because they had just made an establishment in, quote, the Sasquatch's area. And it's an interesting story. I posted it. I can find it and post it again. If not, you guys can look it up, Vikings and Bigfoot, and you'll find it easily. but supposedly...
Cool.
Supposedly, the story of Beowulf comes from that. And, I posted something just the other day about trolls. Could trolls...
Oh, I saw that.
Could trolls actually be Sasquatch? Could Sasquatch be the basis for what we know as trolls? Now, I'm not talking about this Lord of the Rings, Dungeons and Dragons
right.
trolls. I'm talking about... the ancient Scandinavian definition of the word trolls. I mean, if you read all those stories regarding trolls, I mean, they're always near water, usually around bridges. Their description is perfect description of Sasquatch. So it kind of makes you wonder,
It probably is, because I know, like where we live, I live only probably 15 minutes from the mountain. I live in a valley, and 15 minutes away is the mountains. And if I go another couple hours, I'm in Sequoia National Park or Kings Canyon National Park. If I go the other way, 3 hours, I'm in Yosemite National Park. But we put out this 24-hour hotline number, and we started getting calls of Bigfoots in the valley, right? And everybody always said, you got to go to the mountains to see a Bigfoot. Well, then we started, looking at the calls, where they're at, you know, where the reports are, and we started, like, keeping track of them, where they're at. And we started realizing they had something in common. All the calls had something in common, and it was either a canal coming from the mountains, a river coming from the mountains, or a creek coming from the mountains.
Right.
Now, in the valley, this valley is the Central Valley. It's the breadbasket of the world, they call it. It grows everything here. So it would naturally, I mean, it made sense to me right away. I mean, every time somebody saw them, the one main thing that everybody said, I mean, not one person didn't say this, but every one of them said it was running from the orange trees across the road to the other orange trees. And it always, whenever they said that, it was in orange tree time or orange harvest time. So all the oranges are ripe. You know, and I thought, oh, man, you know. And then we found actual bog areas in the creeks that were like 4 or 5 acres. And it was all wild berries and figs and stuff like that. And we found where they were like hanging out. So they'll hang out in the daytime in the area where they're hidden and sit there and munch on the berries and everything that's right there, birds, whatever. And then at night, they use these creeks and canals and rivers as like a highway to more food, peaches, you know, everything, grapes, you name it, whatever, you know, that we have growing out here. It was really a revelation to me, like, holy cow, you know, we've been driving hours to go to a Bigfoot place to find them, and all I had to do was drive 15 minutes, really.
Well, see,
and we have
I'm
cameras up now, you know.
Right, right. I'm fortunate that I actually live, and I know I showed you Google Earth and various. I actually live on a wildlife refuge. I mean, I don't live on it. There's one little area. There's one little area that's cut out, and that's where I live. Mm-hmm. I can stand on my porch and I can see the actual wildlife management office for this whole area.
Yeah, that's cool. You live like right in your own research place. That's like the best place to be.
I mean, I posted a picture earlier on one of the websites, and it's of my backyard. And in that very exact location, my son and I had a rock thrown at us.
You know what I would do if I was you? I would get some cameras, but I wouldn't put them outside on trees or anything like that. Get you one with a DVR and get some cameras and put them inside your house in the windows looking out. You see, they'll notice if you put something in a tree or something like that. They'll smell it or they'll see you put it there, and they'll avoid it like the plague. But they might be running right around your house and you don't even know it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like right in your yard, right at your door.
Oh, I'm pretty...
And if you put a camera up there, you probably could catch them.
I'm pretty sure they are. I mean, I walk outside and I get these whiffs almost on a monthly basis. It's not like every night, but monthly I'll get this whiff of just something really, really bad. And for the most part, it kind of smells like horse urine. I get those smell that the smell of that, but then I also get kind of a rotting meat is the best way I can describe it.
That sounds like what everybody describes.
Mix in with a little bit of pig farm.
That sounds like it.
I'll tell you what.
Exactly.
I've never told anyone this. But my girlfriend, I have a varmint trap, if you will. It doesn't kill them or anything like that. It's to catch the varmints and relocate them or whatever. Well, I had caught some catfish not too long ago, and I had a catfish head that was at least 6 inches around.
Wow.
I put it in this trap, and it disappeared from the trap without the trap being set. I didn't really want to put too
only
much.
Something
into it.
Right, only something with a hand really could reach in there and grab it and pull it out, right?
That's kind of what I was thinking. I really didn't want to say 100% certain, and I'm not going to say 100% certain that I believe
it's
a big.
You don't know, you didn't see it.
That's right. That's right.
But you know, any other animal would have set the trap because they would have had to get in there to get it. You know.
Well, here's the catch. After that, it raised my suspicion. So after that, I took a can of tuna fish, and I put it in there, and that too disappeared without that trap being set off.
Is it like right by your house?
It was right. It was right outside my bedroom window.
Man, I would be putting a camera in my bedroom window and do it again. You know what I mean? Get one that records on a DVR, like a security camera.
Yeah.
And I would put one, and I think you could catch one on video like that. Because they don't know, like, they're smart, but they know there's all kinds of stuff on your house, lights and power, you know, gadgets and doorknobs. They don't know. Like, if you hang, you got stuff, curtains and everything, they don't know. If you put a camera there, they don't know what that is. You know, they have no idea.
It's just part of
the house. You know?
Here's the thing about my house. All my windows, you can't see through them. I've got them, you know, blocked off from the sun. Yeah, you can't see through them at all. In fact, you can't. There's no light from the outside that goes through them. So that would also lead them to feel a little bit safer. Not too long ago, about
when we see their self, they'll be like, "Oh, he can't see me because I can see me."
Well, I'm kind of leaning more towards they can see that and realize that no one's looking out of that. There's no light coming through.
So there's
not that fear of being seen or caught. So it makes them a little bit more braver. In my mind, that's kind of what I'm leaning towards. A couple of years ago.
Well, I think you're right.
About 3 years ago, they clear cut the forest here behind me. And we went out there, me and the kids, and we were walking around, and we found some footprints out there. They were about 10 inches long, but the thing is, they had clear cut this, and they didn't haul off, you know, in other words, it wasn't smooth. They didn't take a bulldozer. There was down trees, down logs, briar bushes, all this stuff. And here were these 10 inch long bear footprints. And I don't mean bear as in the animal bear. I mean bear as in no shoes.
Right.
And in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
And that, I told you that I had interactions with BFRO. That's what got the BFRO over here. In fact, about 6 months ago, I received a call from the producer of Finding Bigfoot wanting to do a show here in Mississippi as well and wanting me to go on the show. And I declined. You know, I know you were on the show, but I declined. I don't need all that. You know, I'm not.
Well, mine was different. Like, they called me and they actually wanted to get on the truck in to where the, you know, the pictures of the painted rocks with the Bigfoots on it.
Yeah.
They wanted to go there and they couldn't get permission to get on there. So, I'm the only guy that could get permission in there.
They did.
So I arranged. Huh?
I said they did go to it eventually, right?
Because yeah, I got permission. I got permission, and we went down there. They hired me, and I actually was like their guide in the mountains and everything all around here, and set up the shooting areas and got the permits, help them get permits, you know.
Yeah.
And I actually was working for them. I wasn't going to be on their show. And then a couple weeks in, you know, just with interaction, you're working with them and you're riding everywhere and driving and talking with them and stuff like that. They started realizing, you know, hey, this guy he's like a Bigfooter. You know, he just isn't an Indian guy that could get me on the res. He's somebody that knows about Bigfoots, you know, and they wanted to do the thing on the windows. And that's on the very last day they were there shooting. That's when they kind of like sprung it on me, like, hey, you want to be on the show? You know, we have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? You know, and I had to make a decision right then. I was like, sure, why not? You know, I don't care. And I don't care if they say it was a bear or whatever. I know what it is, you know. I don't care what they say.
I mean, another reason...
They're just doing it for ratings, you know, basically.
Yeah, another reason that I refuse to show is because when they were here... Well, no, it wasn't Bobo and the ones on the TV show, but it was some of their group, their guys or whatever. When they were here, I didn't like the vibe that I got off them. I didn't like the way they were acting, the way they were coming off. Let's just say it was very selfish for their own benefit or for and I've noticed that a lot with the BFRO and their website. It's like they only want your story for them.
Right.
You know, that's the impression that I get.
The Finding Bigfoot isn't even really BFRO anymore. Only Matt is.
Right, right.
All the other ones don't belong to it anymore. I don't know the reasons or nothing. I was just told that, you know, by
but
them.
That's what kicks off the show is Matt's is the BFRO.net website. Matt's website. He goes on there, looks at the reports on there, hands them over to his producer or whatever, and they determine where they want to be based on.
It kind of is like that. But only like how I kind of arranged like the area around here, and all the shows that, you know, everybody that was on the show around here I pretty much arranged for it. And, you know, I hate to like give out their, you know, like give
First,
how
yeah,
their show goes.
Yeah.
But only they, you know, everything's like prearranged kind of, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you have to, there's no way they can come to an area and just, you know, drive in and do all this stuff, you know, like how they make it look, because it would be bad TV. It wouldn't look good at all, you know. Too many things could happen that would ruin everything. So,
yeah,
I mean, everything pretty much has to be prearranged, you know.
And rehearsed, and, yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yeah,
you know,
the only one that, now Monsters and Mysteries, now that was a different one.
Yeah.
When we did that one, they came in like Kathy Strain was on it, and I know Kathy Strain, you know, and I met her a few times at the Felton Bigfoot Museum gatherings, and she works for she was actually our guest last week on the show, and she's the one that wrote the book on the Bigfoot Wars. I had no idea she wrote a book on Bigfoot Wars. I had no idea she knew about the Bigfoot Wars. And they had me tell about this whole Bigfoot war thing. And then when I watched the show, I see Kathy Strain, you know, it's like, hey, whoa, you know, and then I called her up. Hey, I didn't know you knew all that, you know, about the Bigfoot war and everything. But they told our story pretty much word for word, you know what I mean? There wasn't all this editing and everything that takes out stuff and nobody's opinion. They tape you. They put it all down, your story down, and then they air it. And what they're trying to do is scare you, basically.
Yeah.
They put everything like scary in the rain and dark, you know, and all that stuff. But they told the story straight up, pretty much how it went down, and I respected that.
Now you guys have something in the works right now. If we're allowed to talk about it, if not, let me know.
We could talk a little bit. I can't talk about like exactly, you know, like right now what we're doing, but I could talk about we went and because you know we pretty much have it all over the web. We were told to do a pilot for a talk show, and all paranormal, all real stories, no made up stuff, you know, and we wanted to do it, so we. We rented out an old theater, a real old theater, and we set up a set and we did three pilots, three shows.
Right.
And what I could do say is that it was all professionally done. I mean, it costed a grip of money, but only now the networks they're interested, you know, real interested. And so,
yeah, you sent me something. You sent me a link to a show. I don't know if that was the actual pilot. I don't really recall whether you said or not. But you sent me a link to a show, and I watched it, and it was great. I loved it. I loved the way it was handled, the way it was set up. It was great. So I'm sure that whatever transpires from here on out in the future, I'm sure it's going to be just as awesome, if not more so, once you get a big production team behind you.
That's what we're hoping. You know, we can only do so much because, you know, we're like most of the team is working guys, you know, and every spare amount of money they have, they're buying equipment and everything. And I'm like the poorest one of them all, right? I'm on disability and yeah, I mean, I even feel bad sometimes because I don't have much to offer except for what I know, and that's almost it, you know. But the people like me, you know, the show, when we do the show, I was behind the scenes and just keeping the computer and the cameras and stuff going. And then he gave me a microphone because he would want, you know, my input on some of the stories because I would be very familiar with what they're talking about. So then, you know, I started giving my input here and there on the microphone, and then everybody started asking for, hey, who's the guy behind the microphone? You know, we want to see him. And next thing I know, I'm out in front of the camera, you know, and now we have to have another guy behind the camera working, you know. But it's real popular, and it's real fun, you know. I get hit up at Walmart and stuff like that for my autograph and stuff. It's kind of humbling, you know, because I'm not used to that kind of notoriety, but only it's fun. I'm going to go as far as I can with it, you know.
Well, maybe, you know, that's
make a living, you know.
That's what amazes me is, you know, I just I've only been doing this since like February, and I'm not talking about the Sasquatch thing. I've been doing that since I was 8. I'm talking about the broadcast and whatnot, and actually putting what I know and what I think out there. And I'm amazed at how many friends that I have made doing this and how many people have contacted me and actually respect my opinion. And I'm not bragging or trying to, you know, toot my horn or anything like that. It just amazes me how friendly everyone is, and that's what's the most important thing about all of this, you know. I mean,
it's kind of like a family, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I found, you know, as you go along. Like, we go to the, like, I just meet people. We go to these events, you know, like they'll have a Bigfoot symposium or something like that, and you go over there, and everybody that is interested in Bigfoot shows up to it, that can drive to it.
Yeah.
And then you get to meet them, and then you become friends with them, and you meet them at several of them, and then pretty soon you're a Facebook friend, and you're chatting all the time. And I mean, just like me and you, you're way over, you know, you're on the whole other United States almost to me. And we hit it off, and the rest is history, kind of like.
Well,
and that's just how
me,
it goes, you know. It's kind of neat like that.
To me, I look at it like this. It's not fake, if you understand what I'm saying, because they don't want anything from you. They're befriending you, following you, liking you for who you are and for how you think, and for your and for your knowledge. You know, they're not liking you because you're a Hollywood star. They're not liking you because you're a millionaire. Does that make sense? It's true and genuine.
Yeah.
They're just liking you for what you know and what you believe and how you feel.
It's another form of research, really, for other people. You know, they only can learn only so much,
and it's
through
very
what
flattering.
They do, and then Well, we believe it or not, you learn from them too, though. See, once you meet them, you know, and then you're like reading their stuff, you're like, whoa, hey, I never thought about it like that, you know.
That's right.
You know,
it's very
opens up your horizon, you know.
Right. It's very
It is.
And I think all of you, everyone listening, you, Alan, I thank all of you for that opportunity and for being able to grow in those aspects.
Oh, man, I think it's good. In fact, you have a really good style. I think you'll do real well, especially if you stay on topic, you know, and like you're doing, you're doing good. It's good. Like my favorite topic.
I was on a different radio show not too long ago, and the host asked me, he's like, if you could give anyone any advice when they're out there doing this on what to do, how to be, how to act, what would you say? And I told him, I said, the best thing I could say is use common sense.
I heard that.
You know, that you use common sense. It's not rocket science, guys. I mean, you put yourself in a position of, if I lived my entire life out in these woods, what would I do?
All right.
Where would I be? Where would I find my resources? And, you know, it goes back to, I'm going to go back, if we can, to what you had said earlier about the Sasquatch in the Native American tribes where they were stealing the children and the women. I also believe that has to do with resources in the area, because there's been a lot of debate here this last week about the Sasquatch is dangerous and this and that, this and that. I believe they can be. I also think it has to do with the area and the food supply. I believe that they're opportunists.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to attack you straight up with a whole bunch of people watching. You know, the most vulnerable person is going to be, just like any other animal, they take the weak. You know, they are the apex predator out there, not you. You know, their domain, and
we only know
a little bit, you know.
And guys, we're going to open the phone lines here in a little bit. I just want to get this out. I watch a lot of these survival shows. I'm actually friends with Michael Hawk. I don't know if you know who he is. He had the show Man, Woman, Wild, and now he has a show Lost Survivors.
Yeah.
And I'm friends with him, and I've done some survival stuff myself. I look at it like this as far as Sasquatch goes. If I'm out there in the woods, and I'm not saying I'm going to go and kill a human and eat a human, you know, but if I'm out there in the woods and I'm starving to death and I am a Sasquatch and there is a lonely camper there, I can see where that would be very tempting.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I think also territory. I mean, just like a bear, you know, if you get between a mother bear and her cubs, that's your ass.
Yeah, you're toast. Yep. You're toast. I've actually seen that happen a bunch of times.
I believe different circumstances, you know, go down as far as that goes. Me, I go out, and there's always all this talk about bring a gun, don't bring a gun, shoot it, whatever. You know, I go out, I don't bring any guns. You know, I take a machete, I take a couple of knives, a mace, and believe it or not, firecrackers. Because if you're trying to scare off something, an animal, and you have a gun, it's not the bullet that's going to scare this thing off. You know, it's the sound. And so, you know, and I go out there by myself.
Well, I got to tell you, man, one time I have a friend, and I wasn't with him at the time, but he was a hiker, you know, always going out, always unarmed. I mean, he had a knife and stuff like that, but they would go out like 3 weeks and hike into the wilderness and stuff like that. And one time a sick mountain lion attacked him. And I mean, he had big old scars on his throat and everything where this thing attacked him. It normally wouldn't attack you. But it was sick. But only that could happen anywhere, man. Just like my video where I was telling everybody, like, a doctor can make a mistake. Anything could happen, you know.
I don't have any of those around here. If there are, they are very, very few and very, very rare.
Well, they're more elusive than a Bigfoot.
Right.
You know, they could get around and you wouldn't know they're there unless you see a track usually.
Well, true. That's true. I've never seen any mountain lion tracks, any bear tracks. I know that there are some here, but it's probably only a handful. There is always that chance, guys. I'm not saying, I'm Superman and blah, 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 I'm Billy Badass or anything like that. There's always that chance. I'm saying that for me personally, I feel safer out there in the woods at night than I do going to Walmart or in some other large place with crowded with people. I feel safer out there in the woods than I do there.
Yeah, well, I don't know how your woods are, but like when you get out there, it's thousands of miles of nothing. You know, like three national parks, wilderness. They won't let you drive in there's just walking trails in, and there's bears, there's mountain lions, there's Sasquatches. You know, there's a lot of stuff that could eat you out there.
Right. Well, here,
and hundreds of thousands of people disappear out of there also, never found again.
Here in my area, I mean, you can't throw a rock without hitting a tree. A lot of people don't know that about Mississippi because they always think Biloxi or down in that area. But you get up in north or north central Mississippi, and, you know, there's lots of fields, there's lots of farmland, cotton fields, and then there's lots of woods and hills. And,
cool.
I mean, I've posted pictures. People are like, holy cow, I never knew, you know, Mississippi looked like that. But, you know,
there's where the Sasquatch lives for sure.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's my thing that I tell people. I'm like, look, man, if I want to right now, I could go out in these woods, disappear, and survive. Me, a human, man. So there's no doubt in my mind that something else can too.
That's for sure. I mean, that used to be something I used to do before I was disabled. I always was out there. I would go 2 weeks all by myself. I was armed, though, but, I would take off and go up there for 2 weeks and, just be gone. Nobody knew where I was.
Exactly.
I enjoyed it.
That's exactly my point. If I wanted to, I could go out there and disappear, and if I didn't want anybody to find me, you can bet your ass they
wouldn't
find me.
That's right. You would be the ninja.
It's not that hard. I mean, I made a post earlier, I'm sure you saw, where I played hide-and-seek in the woods with my kids, and I laid in a ditch and covered up with leaves, and my 19-year-old son literally stepped over me.
And I wasn't that was like Rambo, huh?
Yeah, I was wearing normal clothes. I wasn't camouflaged or anything. And believe me, I'm not trying to say I'm Billy Badass and all this other shit. Please don't get me wrong. I'm saying I'm using it as examples to say I know that it's possible. If I can do it, then something like a Sasquatch that has done nothing but exist its entire existence in these forests can do it a hell of a lot easier.
Oh, they're brought up to do it. You know, they're taught, just like how we teach our kids. I mean, the mamas teach them how, and they probably the younger ones are the ones that get seen the most out of all the sightings because they're more curious.
Right.
They're more, they don't have no fear of you yet. You know, they've never had anybody shoot at them or anything. You know, they haven't had any near misses with a car trying to run across a highway and almost killed by,
I mean, to be honest,
they learn it.
I don't blame them. I mean, come on. I mean, look at the world around us, you know. It's like I tell people all the time. In my opinion, in my mind, they're the ones who have it right.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see them raping the environment and conforming their surroundings to meet them. You know what I'm saying? They're living with their surroundings.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I envy them, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know I want to find them, like more of about them, you know.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't want to prove it to the world. You know, I just want to myself. I want, and I've seen them before, so it's not about I want to see them. It's not about that. It's about, and you and I have talked about this many times, I want to interact with them. I want to know them on that level and possibly be accepted in.
See, I'd like to know if that could happen. You know what I mean? I'm not sure, like, how much wildness they have in them, or how much, I don't know, like, if they have a certain amount of wild in them, they'll let you sit there for how long before one of them gets kicked off, or you looked at its woman, you maybe too long or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
and
you
then
gotta
it rips
think of
you
Sasquatch.
Up, you know.
You got to think of Sasquatch as survivalist and kind of like a fugitive that doesn't want to be found. You know, if you get those things in your head, then your chances of some kind of interaction or response will be, in my opinion, be greater. If you were to go as far as to be accepted by them, in my opinion, I think it would be the same as if you were locked in a cell with a hardened criminal. You would
Have you ever read about that guy that got picked up by him in his sleeping bag and pulled off to where they live?
Yes.
You know, and how he got away and all that?
I mean, because we don't know what'll set them off, and that's the same thing. I grew up with child abuse, so I can kind of put it in my head, you know, as far as my father, with my father. You don't know what's going to set them off. So you'd have to be on. You'd have to really think carefully about every action and every move. I mean, you don't know if showing your teeth is a sign of aggression. You don't know. So now this is all hypothetical. This is all kind of daydreaming type stuff, you know, because we don't know if that's...
Well, you're not the only one. I mean, do you know Dr. J, Matthew Johnson? Have you heard of him?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't ring a bell right off. I mean, if I saw an image, I'd probably know exactly who you're talking about.
He's like the 6'9" doctor that lives in Oregon, and he has like habituation areas where he goes in and he sets up gifting areas, and he set a peanut butter jar down, kind of like what you're talking about with your trap.
Yes.
He sets a peanut butter jar down, and then they come back later, and something opened the peanut butter jar, ate the peanut butter, and then put the lid back on, right? But only they don't know exactly if it's a Bigfoot or not, but only, you know, and he has recordings of where they've whispered his name, and, I mean, a lot of interaction, but he's working towards being like Jane Goodall, right, where she went with the monkeys and got in there, you know, and was part of the monkey tribe or whatever, kind of like. He's doing that in Southern Oregon. And you might look him up. I mean, I can't remember what his, he has a group on here. It is interesting reading some of the interactions that they have, you know. Some of it is way out there, though. You know, it's like hard to believe, you know, like while they're walking at you, you know, like he has one where the Bigfoot's walking through, he could see it. They all could see it, and it's walking into their camp, and then as it gets into the middle of their camp, it cloaks, right? It disappears. But it keeps on continuing towards them. They know it's there, and then it hits him with its shoulder and spins him around. Now, he's 6'9", okay? So whatever this was that disappeared and then walked by and nudged him with the shoulder and spun him around, he says it's a Bigfoot, and it disappeared right in front of their eyes. You know, and that's kind of like, whoa, you know, that right there is like, what was it? You know, I mean, that's even better than a ninja right there. But it's hard to believe, you know what I mean? But only they're saying that stuff happens all the time up there in Southern Oregon. Oh, did my phone die? No. Oh. Are you still there, or did I lose you?
Hey, I'm sorry. I was walking by a TV and I muted. What I was saying is, I'm not getting into all that. I don't buy it. I'm not going that Bigfoot can cloak. I mean, what are we talking, Predator or some shit? You know, I mean, come on.
You know? Yeah. Well, he's not the only one that talks about it. You know, like we have a friend that goes watching with us, and he goes out like all over California. And he has a pacemaker, and he thinks that these things are zapping him, right, with a low frequency, like elephants do. They prove that elephants can make a low frequency that you can't hear with your ears, and they, for miles, can hear it, right? The elephants can, and they communicate by this low frequency sound, and he thinks that these Bigfoots are putting off a low frequency and zapping him. And so much so that, like, when he puts his tent up, he puts a tarp over it so that they can't, like, see when his light is on and stuff like that in there. And the last time he was out, he was in Northern California, and this thing was zapping him. And he knew it was a Bigfoot as soon as he started feeling it. That's how he knew the Bigfoot was there.
So we're talking this. I mean, this person. I mean, it's your friend, so I'm not going to.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking.
Well, I don't know what to believe either. You know, I'm just retelling what he says.
And I mean,
I've never had that happen to me yet.
If he's listening, I don't want him to come over with a shotgun or anything. But
I don't think he won't get mad.
but he thinks that it's called infrasound. He thinks that they're using infrasound to affect.
And his first Bigfoot sighting, when he first had his very first Bigfoot sighting, he sat down, and when he stood up,
I can see where they would be using sound to their benefit. Most lions have it. Excuse me, elephants have it. A lot of animals have it. Whether it's affecting his pacemaker or zapping him, that I don't know. But I'm just
that
not
scares
buying.
Him.
I'm not buying the whole cloaking thing. I think that's more of a fantasy type thing that people want to throw in with Bigfoot. I'm just not buying. It's like I said earlier, man. It's not hard to disappear into the woods, you know.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, I'm just saying there's lots of groups out there, and this is their experience, right? I mean, it's not the guy sitting behind the computer making it up. These guys are really out in the woods. They have pictures, and they go out there all the time, just like you do and I do. And this is what they're experiencing out there. You know, like
right,
the Bigfoot steps out from behind the tree, and its eyes glow red. And a lot of the sightings we get around here, the people say that the Bigfoot could turn on their eyes red like lights and glow at them. When they see the Bigfoot, and the Bigfoot looks at them, and their eyes glow, right?
I don't know about that either. I mean.
I don't either. I just want to know. You know, that's the things I want to know.
So next thing people are going to be claiming all over line that Bigfoot is a Terminator. I mean, you know, their eyes do glow red. Don't get me wrong. Their eyes do glow red at night in light.
In the day.
I've seen
this. In the day, too.
You know, what do they do? Go back to their cave? Oh, hold on, baby. I got to change my batteries in my ass cheek. You know? I mean,
well, see, what concerns me is when you're, like you talk about, like you want to be one with them, and then you admit we don't know everything we know that we should know. This is some stories. I mean, you've got to take all the evidence, you know, that comes, no matter how outrageous. You know, especially when there's more than one person in, and they're in different geographic areas and they don't know each other, and
yeah,
they're
saying
these same stories, you know, and you're like, what in the world, you know, it doesn't make sense. Like, is that a different kind of Bigfoot than I know, or is it the same one, you know, the same kind, you know?
That would go along with, you know, Bigfoots being aliens and flying spaceships. I mean, come on. If you're that advanced, why would you be walking through the woods hairy, naked? I don't know, man. I'm just not, you know.
We've even got sightings of like when we do our.
I watched the show last night. I think it was Monster episode of Monsters and Mysteries. I'm not sure where there was this. I don't know what they called it, but it was kind of like a Sasquatch with bat wings, and it had a horn, and they said that light was emitting from the horn.
Oh, I think I heard about that one. I didn't see the show.
And I really don't know. I'm going to tell you the truth, man. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I should tell you about this one sighting I had. I know everybody will trip out on this. We have an amulet. Okay, the paranormal, we call it a Sanger Paranormal Society, and we do ghosts and, you know, everything. But we have this ambulance, and it's all painted and has stickers all over it, you know, and it's our research van, you know. And it's kind of cool, but it quit running. And one of our best friends is a hot rod guy, and, I mean, he's been in Hot Rod Magazine like 15 times, so that's the guy we take it to, you know. And we take it over to his shop, and he calls me up and says, man, we got to talk about this ambulance. So I get over there, and we're standing outside talking about the ambulance, and then the sun's, you know, like just went down below the horizon. And here comes this thing, I think it looks like a cigar, okay? And the mechanic, he's looking at it too. I go, hey, you see that? You know, he's like, yeah. Then when it gets closer, it makes a little roll, and I realize it has wings, like dragon-looking wings. But it looks like a Bigfoot, but it has dragon wings. And I'm like, what the heck, you know? And about that time, he says, it doesn't have any, it's an airplane or something, and it don't have the lights on it, you know? But I carry in my van a camera, binoculars, everything, right, in my van as a backpack. I run to my van, and I didn't grab the camera. I wish I would have, but I grabbed the binoculars. And I ran over there, you know, and it's 7x15 power, so I could zoom in. And I got it all adjusted and focused on it, and it was like had already flown past us. And right whenever I got it, like, focused in, the thing kind of, like, turned its head behind it and was looking back at me, and it had eyes, like, 12 inches around, and they were red, and it was hairy, and it had black wings that was skin on the wing, like, black, dark black skin, but they didn't look like they were, like, wide enough to hold it up in the air, and he never flapped them. You know what I mean? It was just, like, gliding along. Now, the mechanic, he always made fun of us, always, about everything, because he didn't believe in nothing, right? He just was the mechanic, and he loved to make fun of us online.
Well, we know that humans...
He saw that with me. He don't make fun of me at all. He doesn't make fun of nothing no more, because he saw that. And then we nicknamed it Mothy, like Mothman. We call it Mothy. And
well,
never seen it again, you know? Weird stuff, man. Weird.
We know that humans can glide. I mean, we have those little gliders that it's a suit, really. In fact, the guy was supposed to do it off of Everest, but it canceled, and they had that avalanche. But we know that those aren't very big, but they're able to glide through the air with it. So
I drew a picture of it, and like I can't draw very good, but. I drew a picture of it and put it, you know, in my Facebook with these big red eyes, and it actually turned its head. It actually flew by me and then was turning its head back around like that and looking at me. I saw it real good. I mean, real good in them binoculars. And I watched it fly off until I couldn't see it anymore. And I'm in a flat area, no mountains or nothing. And, oh, man, I don't know what it is. I just got to tell you, that freaked me out. That turned everything that I was thinking was what I thought was, you know,
well, it
might
could,
be never
I mean...
happen. You know, it turned my whole belief system upside down. That's when the Bigfoot things where they started saying what it could do or, you know, it was like, wait a minute, you know, I have to give a little bit of credit, you know, like, at least think about it because... Yeah, maybe it is, because I don't know that much about Bigfoot either, you know. You know, I don't know. Well, that's the thing. I don't know. You know, I don't.
Exactly.
But I know that big old thing was the size of a Cessna flew by.
Well, see, what you described.
And only like 300 feet off the ground.
Let me interrupt. Guys, we're going to open the phone lines. The number is 323-580-5703. If you guys have a story you want to share or you have some questions you want to ask, go ahead and get those calls in now. And
man, this has been a really fun show, too. I hope they call.
Well,
I would like to
get some calls. A lot of people just like to listen and hear the stories. What you described sounds more like Mothman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
that's what we're calling it, anyways.
That makes me also wonder, because there's also a lot of legends about the Thunderbird.
Oh, wow.
And it makes me wonder if that might be tied in there somewhere.
Well, you know, I was telling you about our hotline number. We get calls on pterodactyls. I'm not kidding, man. We've got probably like 8 calls in the last 2 years of pterodactyls, and they see them. And it's always down at the river, and they're drinking in the river, and then they fly off, and the people are standing there going, "What, man? That's a dinosaur!" You know, but these pterodactyls, and I don't know. You know, I never saw one, but only we get reports of them.
I know.
Like, wow,
man. I know we're kind of getting off. Off topic, off subject.
we should stay on Bigfoot.
This is as far as I'm going to go with it after this. We're going to get back to Sasquatch. But I wonder, you know, with all the, quote, global warming and everything, I wonder if there could be an egg, a dinosaur egg, or perhaps an actual dinosaur that was...
in the ice?
Yes.
That's a good... Man, I never thought of that. That's really good. I'm going to give thought to that.
And now,
in fact, I'm
going to
bring that up with my partners.
Now, with the warmer temperatures and the warmer climates, either the egg thawed, and it was perfectly preserved and hatched, or... Because we're getting here lately. I mean, come on, guys. If you've done a little research or whatever, we're getting a lot more reports and sightings all around the world of these dinosaurs. I mean, I know for a fact, because I live there, I know for a fact of a tale in Florida where some kids were canoeing out in the Gulf, a storm came in, something plesiosaur-like kept raising its head and actually attacked and killed one or two of the boys. I can't remember exactly which.
Wow.
But, I mean, they described, they were stuck out there basically with this thing. And this was off the coast.
Wow.
This was off of Pensacola, I believe.
Wow, dude, that's amazing.
And I mean, there's just more and more sightings of these dinosaur-like creatures here recently. So it kind of makes you wonder, you know. Some people would say maybe it's the government doing the whole Jurassic Park thing. Some people say that these things have always been here hidden. In remote areas of the world, and some people may even lean more towards the theory that I had about the ice thawing.
That's actually a good one. You know, you bring up something like, to get it back to the Bigfoot thing, about the weather change.
Yeah,
out
we got
here,
a call. We got a call.
We're having droughts. We're having droughts where we are. So that means that the food source for the Bigfoot is, like, less, you know. And that may make it more dangerous for people out researching because the food's not there, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, we haven't had hardly no rain for 2 years. The lakes are almost dry everywhere. I mean, it's bad. The farmers are going out of business. I mean... the Bigfoots are going to have a hard time finding something to eat, and you may look pretty tasty, you know, when you're out there. So
don't be
alone, you know, in the Sierras.
We're going to go
if
ahead.
I was
and take, we're going to go ahead and take this call. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey there. This is Brian down in Texarkana, Texas.
Hey.
And hey, man. I'm originally from Mississippi, so I know I'm going to say something familiar. North of I-10, which is basically by Biloxi, it's all woods, all the way up. I mean, there's a few cities, but I'm with you, man. It's there could be anything in those massive forests and various things. So the other thing I wanted to point out, like, man, y'all are really talking up King Gerhardt's wheelhouse with the Mothman and flying humanoids and the Big Bird theories and things. Really, I'm going to pose a question at the end of this comment, but when you have, like, especially after reading his books, there's very, very various reasons and things that's been found out, like you're saying, a backpack. It's not really an animal. It is a test pilot of sorts or whatever. So there's a lot of things been found out. But the question I would pose, you know, there's been that show that talked about the bat squatch. I mean, the squatch that had these gigantic wings.
Right.
And it seemed like you were alluding to that a while ago.
Yeah.
But there's also discussions of, you know, physics and just, you know, makeup of animals mixing and, you know, I don't know if a bat squatch could actually exist. So I think, what y'all's thoughts on that, first of all, and just, you know, I guess I'll hang up and listen because I just the mixing of animals in some cases doesn't seem to work, you know, physically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because first of all, the reason birds can fly is because their bones are hollow, which makes them extremely light. Something of that size would need a huge wingspan. You know, assuming
it was the size of a Cessna.
Yeah,
the wingspan was the size of a Cessna too.
It was. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was the size of a Cessna. It was huge, and you couldn't see the wing all the way until it rolled. It kind of rolled over on its side when it looked back at me. It had to roll over, and so that it could turn its head back down under itself to look at me. And it was big, and its wings. The only thing that didn't make sense to me was how thin the wings were. They were long enough, but it didn't seem like they were wide enough to hold it up in the air. And I don't know what it is. I really don't. I have no idea.
That's what I'm trying to get in my head, and I'm sure many of the listeners are trying to get in their head as well, is the physics of it.
Yeah. It didn't work for me. It didn't work. Even if it was a glider, it could not have stayed up in the air. The only thing that, you know, like somebody put gargoyle on here, you know, like the old Euro gargoyle. I never saw one, but, you know, hey, it could be. I don't know.
Well, I mean, anything is possible, okay? If we're believing in, and those of us, many of us know the existence of Sasquatch, then we have to kind of come to a point where we say anything is possible. You know, if how can I put this? If someone's going to sit here and say, oh, man, you're crazy, that's not possible, and yet they know or believe in the existence of Sasquatch, to me that's kind of hypocritical and arrogant.
I have friends that believe in UFOs and seen them, and they don't believe in Sasquatch. You know what I mean? And I have people that believe in Sasquatch, and they don't believe in UFOs.
Well, I think what it is we as human beings want to believe that we are the know-all, do-all, and end-all that there is to this world. And the hard truth is we don't know as much as we think we know about the planet or the universe, for that matter.
Yeah.
You
know, I have a really weird story that
we only know what's
happened
fed
to me a long time ago.
We only know what's fed to us, you know. Whether it be through TV, media, the government, you know. I'm sorry to say, guys, but we're sheep. You know?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Man, I have this one story that I never share, and because it's too weird. But in Oregon, we were in Oregon on a deer hunt, and me and the father-in-law left and got in a stand, and then the rest of the party, the hunting party, was going to spread out on the side of the hill and push the deer towards the stand. And we didn't see nothing, you know, and then it was time for us to go back. We got back to camp, and the mother-in-law said that she saw a Bigfoot.
Right.
And she was, when we got there, she was just throwing stuff in the car, right? She was leaving. And then we were sitting there making fun of her. That was before I seen a Bigfoot. And the father-in-law's brother, he comes up, and he just starts throwing stuff in his car, you know, and we're like, hey, man, we started making fun of him, like, did you see a Bigfoot, you know? And he's like, no, it was a UFO. It was hovering right above me, and then when he was standing on top of the ridge, and then it went down the ridge about halfway down below him, and then it started coming back up at him, you know, towards him, and that's when he ran and decided he was leaving. But what makes it weird is that night, we got there the day before, and that night before this all happened, we set up three tents. Me and my wife were in the middle tent. And I woke up around 4 in the morning, and I was looking at the sky, and it was kind of like cloudy, partly cloudy. And I was thinking how beautiful it was, right? And then I realized I was in a tent. I shouldn't be able to see the sky. And our tent was gone. The floor was there, the whole floor and everything in the tent was there, you know, including us. But the tent and the ropes and the poles and everything, gone. We couldn't find it. We searched, like, for a couple hours all around. And it's trees all around. If it would have blew off or, you know, it should have been somewhere right by there, you know. We never found the tent.
So to clarify, what you're saying is this tent basically disintegrated around you.
It disappeared. There was no sign of it. Just the floor. And the floor was all staked down still. You know what I mean? But everything else is gone. And then that morning, we did the hunt. The mother-in-law saw the Bigfoot and was packing up to go. She said it was a big one. It was like 6 feet in front of her standing there. And that was it for her. And then the other guy saw the UFO almost identical at the same time, right? And was throwing stuff, and he was leaving too, and we all left. That was it for us. The tent was gone. There was a Bigfoot and a UFO all in one, you know, 24-hour period, and that was enough for everybody to go home.
I still puzzle
over that one, man.
I don't know, man, but I think if my tent just disappeared around me, I don't think I would be able to carry on the next day normally.
Well, you know, everybody made me feel comfortable. I got my wife and we climbed in her mom's tent and finished out the night in her mom's tent. But then, you know, that was on my mind really bad. Everybody else, it didn't really bother, but it bothered me a lot. And that's why I haven't forgot about it.
Yeah.
But what made it weird is, I mean, I guess everybody was kind of on edge. But then when she saw the Bigfoot and then the UFO, that was it, man. When those two things came into the picture, you could tell everybody was nervous and they couldn't get out of there fast enough, you know. And I was glad, too, because I wanted out, too.
guys, we have about 10 minutes left on the air. I'm pretty sure that this will continue over into the archives a little bit. But as far as on the air, we have about 10 minutes left. I want to take this opportunity to thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. And I'm going to continue next week. Next week I'm going to have Mike Woolley. And Debbie King McMartin, who are involved with the movie Scuba, the Hunt for Bigfoot. They're going to be involved. They're going to be here next week. We're going to be talking about that and getting updates on how they're coming. They were here on the show not too long ago. They're going to be back next week, and they're going to get touch base with us and give us some updates on what's going on with that movie. I am involved with these people. I am involved with the movie. I don't want to go into details about all that right now. I'm going to save it for the show.
That is cool, man.
And Skookum. Skookum is the name of the movie. Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot. We're going to talk about all that. And I'll let you guys in on a few things next week. Don't ask me why I keep saying Spookum. I guess because other Sasquatch things. But yeah, it's Skookum, Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot.
Is that going to be shot there, or is that going to be like in the actual Skookum Valley in Washington?
It is being shot in the North Louisiana, Falk, Arkansas area.
Cool.
And right now, it's in the post-production stage, final editing. It's due to be released anytime between now and this summer. And there is, and I'm probably giving away more than I should, but there's a sequel. There will be a sequel.
Sweet.
And that's kind of where my involvement comes in. Like I said, we'll get into all those details next week. Alan, real quick. I mean, and we're going to continue. We're going to continue talking, of course, into the archive. And you guys, I'll post it. You'll be able to listen to it. But real quick, while we're still on the air, is there anything that you want to plug?
Yeah, I'd like for everybody to check out my website. It is www.paranormalcentral.net or no, .com. I can't remember. But if you type in Paranormal Central in a Google search, we're the first one. And then the next one down is our live stream show. But I'd like everybody to go check us out, you know, and see, you know, check our show out and see how they like it. We have a lot of good guests. It is www.paranormalcentral.net. I update the website regularly. I'm a little bit behind on it right now. I'm kind of changing around some of the stuff on it. But I'm actually going to put your Onyx Night information on there. And,
right.
You know, we'll make it right. And get that on there. So I'd like for everybody to do that. And on there's a link to the Art Bell Dark Matter radio network that we're on. And also we have our 24-hour hotline number on that website. And,
right.
And it's 24 hours. You could call from anywhere in the world, and somebody will answer the phone. It's not going to be a recording.
It's very exciting times. I know it's exciting times for me. I know, Alan, what you have going on, that some of the things that we weren't able to talk about. So I know it's exciting times for you.
Oh, man.
Alan and I are going to be doing a lot of things together in the future. It's taken off. You know, Alan, you and I talked earlier, and you said the exact same thing. It's taken off. Everything is taken off. I am privileged, honored, and excited to be a part of it all.
My take on it is everybody, like you were saying, everybody's sheep. I think the sheep are waking up. I really think that. And the way they're going to find the real truth is in the paranormal. There's something there that's the truth, and we all wanted to know. And we're always looking there, you know. And I think they're waking up, and that's why the paranormal topic is so, you know, getting so popular.
But
that's the
at
part
the same
they don't
time,
know.
We still have the government. Believe me, they're involved
a
lot more than we may ever know.
I mean, when you have a show on government, like conspiracy theory stuff, you'll have to call me back because I know a lot about that stuff. I mean, we do a lot of research, man, underground bases and all kinds of stuff, you know, that
we're going to have to hear. You're going to be back. Your ass is going to be back because you touched on some things tonight. You touched on some things tonight that I didn't really want to get too far into because of the topic being Sasquatch, but you mentioned some things tonight that we're going to have future shows on. Your the last story that you told about the tent and the UFO and Bigfoot, we're going to have a show completely on that, on what's going around, the theory of all this stuff about UFOs and Sasquatch being tied in. I have my beliefs. I'm not going to say them right now. I have my theories on it, my thoughts on it. But we're going to talk about that on a future.
Have some research on that.
and you and
there's
I
some
hey,
actual reports that we researched and we actually did some shows on it. That's when they can look on our website. It's called Alien Abduction at Courtright Reservoir, if they look at that one, and it has Bigfoots in it too, and it was Alien Abduction with Bigfoots, you know.
Right, and we're gonna have a show on that real soon, and that's what we're gonna talk about, and you know, I've seen everyone's discussions about it, I've seen their opinions about it, I have my own. I'm not saying that mine is right and anyone else's is wrong, because like I said earlier, we don't know. There are no experts on this crap. Well, there may be government, but as far as Joe Public, there are no experts on it. We're all just kind of pissing in the wind, shooting in the dark, trying to use what knowledge we do have on our everyday basis. We're trying to use that and put that towards what we think may possibly be going on. We're not claiming to be the expert.
End all, know all, yeah.
Or the go-to guys on any of this stuff. It's just, at this point in time, it's not even fathomable to even claim that.
Right.
You know, this is all our opinions, things that we've seen, things that we've heard, things that we've read. And guys, you know, I've said this before, the knowledge is out there. Do the research and don't just do the whole Bigfoot report. Now, go further back. Native American tales, Viking tales, go further back. It's there. Believe me, it's there. Don't buy into too much of these television shows.
No, you know what? You're right about the TV. It's all about ratings. That's all. And money.
That's exactly what you took the words right out of my mouth. But we're going to, Alan, if you're up for it, man, I mean, you and I can continue the conversation. We got on air, we got about 2 minutes left.
Okay, well, you go ahead and do your close. I'll hang out, and you go ahead, and then we'll continue on in the archive or whatever you call it.
Right. Guys, here's what's going on. Okay, like I said, next week I have Mike Woolley and Debbie King McMartin from the Skookum movie. They're going to be here. They're going to be catching us up to base. She said there's a lot of things she wants to let everyone know about as far as the editing process goes and where they're at and when this is going to come out. I'm going to have them on next week. And the week after that, hopefully, fingers crossed, I've talked to him. He's supposed to get back with me. He hasn't, but I got some people who know him personally who are going to talk to him. The week after that, I'm hoping to have Lyle Blackburn on the show. And if he's listening, get back with me, Lyle, and let's lock this down. The following week, I'm not sure yet. I'm still working. Excuse me. I'm still working on that and who my guests will be as far as that goes. But every week we're going to be talking about Sasquatch with different people in the field, finding out their take on it, answering questions, and trying to come together and get as much knowledge as we can out there, and also for us ourselves. But you guys, I appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you listening. Sorry about the opening. I'm always nervous when I'm opening the show. I don't know why. I just am, and I apologize for that. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Tune back in. If anyone wants to be on the show, let me know. And that'll do it for airtime. Alan, it's just you and I. We're here. We're talking. It is being recorded, of course.
Oh, okay. Cool. I never understood that. You know, I never did blog talk, so I never understood the archive thing. You know, like, I've been interviewed on other shows, and we went into the archives, and I was like, where are we? But it's cool. I understand now there you can let that recording record and then put it online, and people can hear the archives later, right?
Yeah, it'll be on the website.
Cool. Yeah, because I just had a few people ask me on Facebook. They missed it, and they want to catch it, you know, in the archive.
Oh, I'll be yeah, exactly. In fact, as of right now, when it went off the air, it starts as soon as I end it all in the show. It'll go back and it. I don't know. I guess it kind of compresses it, and then within 30 minutes to an hour after that, it's ready to listen to. And I'll post that, and everybody, and I'll shoot you the link, and you can share it. We'll all be sharing it, and everybody can go and listen to it at their own leisure.
Right. Yeah, and they can do it on their mobile phone or whatever, right?
Yeah. As far as I know, I haven't tried it, so don't quote me on that. I haven't tried it, but I'm pretty sure, you know, if your phone can get a website, I'm pretty sure you can actually listen to it on the phone.
Right on.
But,
that's cool. A lot of my friends, or, you know, Facebook friends, they do everything mobile, and they go to work, and then later on, you know, like even our shows, they don't watch it when it's live. And then, you know, we'll get like 500 views the very next day or that night when they're at work.
Yeah, you need to start posting. You need to start posting your shows, the links to your shows and whatever over on Onyx Nights also.
Yeah, I need to put my my YouTube channel. I have a whole bunch of shows on there where we interviewed. All kinds of people, the guys from Factor Faked, and a lot of people, Lyle Blackburn, and what's that girl's name? Can't remember her name, but she's, I shouldn't even say, because if I can't say what the name is, I'm kind of scammed.
Well, I might know who you're talking
about. Carrie Cassidy, that's it.
Yeah.
Carrie Cassidy. She does I can't remember the name of what her, but everybody knows her. When you say Carrie Cassidy, everybody knows who Carrie Cassidy is, you know. At least they should. And it looks like I got signed out of everything for some reason. I don't know why. On the web, like my Google is signed out. Now I got to log back in, and everything got signed out. I don't know why. I kind of do. I was doing some research, and this isn't even on Bigfoot, but I was in the paranormal side of things. There's these, you know, you go into this demons and what's running the government and stuff like that. And I got into some really deep stuff. And then right after that, my internet started like shutting off, and I was trying to post links to my partner, Jeffrey Gonzalez, and when I put the link in the Facebook message, it would come up as like it couldn't do it, right? It wasn't letting me put the link. So I tried a different link on something that, you know, it was just anything, and it went right through. And he couldn't understand what I was doing because it seemed cryptic to him, you know. I'm trying to share something with him, but what I really wanted to share would never share or go on. And, you know, the dumb stuff that I was just trying to see if it was just the actual information I was trying to give him wasn't going, was going through. So I could post a cartoon, but I couldn't post what I really wanted to put. So then I thought, man, you know, I'll just take a screenshot picture of what I'm reading, you know, and then I'll make it a JPEG and then upload it as a picture into the message. It wouldn't even load that. The next thing I know, I got a white car sitting in front of my house, and, you know, and I think I got onto something, you know, and I, you know, put up some red flags on the government thing, and they started, like, checking me out. Is what it is. You know, it's kind of calmed down now, but still every once in a while, you know, things happen and I don't understand what's going on, but I think it's that. And I don't even know if I should even share it with you, because if I do, I don't know, you know, I don't know what'll happen, like.
Man, don't be putting no bulls out of my eyes, you know?
It kind of is like that, you know, and we kind of, you know, me and Jeffrey, we've been doing this a while, and all the different, like, the UFOs and government, the deep underground bases and reptilians and, oh, man, we go off in all these different directions, but only we don't stop with, like, you just take the report, you know, from somebody. We go all the way, and you know, we dig, we go online, we make phone calls, we try to figure out what is going on, if it's, you know, like, are they pulling our leg, or is there something to this, you know. Sometimes it goes nowhere, and then sometimes, you know, we find out that, you know, we really found something, like we stumbled on right by our house, right in our area, we stumbled on this one place, we call it the ancient ruins, and we did it. It was some video of it, and we sent it to the archaeology departments of some of the big colleges, and they were like, where is this, what is this? They were telling us it's like 10,000 years old, and there is nothing supposedly supposed to be around here that's 10,000 years old. And I worked with Nat Geo, the National Geographic Channel, and they came out and they did a show called Chasing UFOs. And I worked with them just like I did Finding Bigfoot. You know, I worked with them and got all the shooting locations and everything, and that's one of the places they wanted to go, but we actually went to the owner of the property and he turned us down. But while we were there, and this is before the crew came, the shooting crew, it's just the producers, you know, we went up there to get the permission, and then the guy, he walked us around the property, and then he told us something about us that nobody could know. Like, none of us knew that about each other. And it was like, what was that? I mean, it was the quietest car ride. After we left there, that was the quietest car ride I've been in a long time, because everybody was thinking, what in the heck? How did that guy know all this stuff about me? You know, and him, and her, and him, you know, like, whoa. So that place right there, it's off limits to us now. I mean, we can't do anything there, but it's something we found and stumbled on, and, you know, we want to research it a whole lot more, but it is dangerous to research. So, you know, right now it's, like, off the table for a while. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot to, like, when you were talking about the sheep thing, there is a lot to that, man, like these smart meters on everybody's house and all the, you know, when you start really researching it, you find out the government could use this stuff and put, like you got to think back, like in 1991 when
we don't know.
In Iraq. Remember when we went in Iraq and the first time? And all the tanks are rolling in there, you know, and they're showing it on TV and everything. And then all of a sudden, here comes like 30,000 guys with their hands up.
Yeah.
And they just gave up, right? What were we doing that made them give up like that at that point?
Oh, it could be that.
What did we use on them?
It could be that they knew that they were about to have their asses handed to them. But, you know, a lot of this, I don't think Sasquatch is
paranormal. Like, you think he's like a blood and hairy, you know, like a biological person.
Yes,
thing, right?
Yes. But what I was going to say is I don't think that Sasquatch is how can I put this? Not government controlled, but government engineered. I think that a lot of the other ones are. I don't believe Sasquatch is, and here's why: because the records of Sasquatch go back long before our government, and long before our government even had the technology to do any of that.
Well, you know, like when
now, could they be cloning
UFOs? They've been around for like thousands of years. Maybe they are the ones engineering them. You know what I mean? When you get into the sightings of Bigfoots and UFOs,
okay. Now you're getting into something that I want to have a future show on.
Yeah, I mean that's good stuff. I'll tell you. I mean, it's interesting because where did we get our technology? You know, the government.
Right.
Like, we were horse and buggies forever, you know, and then all of a sudden,
boom.
You know,
and that's gonna
yeah,
be
we're on cell phones.
Yeah, we're going to get into that on a future show. As I was saying,
cool.
I don't believe that Sasquatch is government engineered because now, could it be possible that the government has Sasquatch DNA and are trying to enhance them, the bat thing that you saw, or even Mothman for that matter, could that be possible? Yeah. You know, but I believe the original mold, Sasquatch, has been here all along. In fact, I believe that they were the first hominid race on this planet, and we'll go into that more on that future show, too, why I believe that.
That would go along with the Indians. They say the Sasquatch was there before they were.
That's my point. And that's where the UFO will come in, and extraterrestrials. I'll explain all that, I promise, on a future show that you and I are going to have.
Cool.
But now, I can't prove any of this, okay? But I would stake a lot on the fact that I believe the government is fully aware of Sasquatch and their existence, knows the location of, say, many clans.
Let me relate something to you that came to us about 2 years ago, and we were going to go there and research it, and we were warned not to. But there's a valley, and I won't even say the name of the valley. It's in the Sierras, you know.
Let's just say
to hike to it. There's no roads.
Let's just say Hidden Valley.
Okay, it's a hidden valley, and actually, it really is. And
it's where the ranch dressing comes from.
Yeah. Well,
You finally got it. I was waiting. I'm like, come on, Alan. I'm throwing you a bone here.
Oh man, that was a good one. Okay, the guy that gave us this, he was best friends with somebody high up in the forestry department.
Right.
And they, you know, they would get drunk every Friday night. And finally the guy was about to retire, and they were getting drunk by the campfire. And the guy says, man, he goes, I got to show you something, you know. And he went in the building and went to this little closet, right, went in his office, and there's a little closet. Guy fumbles around with his key, and he opens it up, and it has all these file cabinets and stuff. And he opens up the file cabinets, and there's these perfect pictures, kind of like the one that you saw that Todd Standing has, right, that clear, okay? But only it wasn't fake. It was like, the guy said it was the mama and the babies in the river, and the mama was, like, bathing them, and then there was film footage, you know, and the guy was going through this film footage. He was saying, this is what he was saying. He said that since the 50s, the government has had cameras in this valley and have been recording this certain clan of Bigfoot family since the 50s. And they have clear, you know, film footage. He saw clear film footage. He saw clear 8x10 glossy pictures of them. And it was a full file cabinet full of it. And this guy was saying, you know, that this forestry guy, that since the 50s, they've been in there and they knew about them and they know everything about them. You know, what they do, how they live, everything, because they've been documenting it since the 50s in this one valley.
Yes.
And we were going to go there, and we were warned that the valley is like Area 51. Right, when you go in, they already know you're there. There's sound devices long before you get there that you'll set off, warning them that you're coming in hiking. There's
warning,
cameras
when you
set
say,
up everywhere.
When you say warning them, who are you talking about? The government or Sasquatch?
No, we were warned by
No. You said there were sound devices that when you go in, it goes off warning them. Who is the them you're talking to?
That would be
about
the government.
Yeah, okay.
The government. The government would be warned that you're coming in, and you would be videoed. There's cameras everywhere, like in trees, and they're hidden really well, you know, and you would not know they're there, and from what I understand, we had hikers that went in the area by accident, didn't even know, you know, and they got, before they even got in the valley, they were headed off by government officials and told them, get out of there, turn around and go back, you know, you can't come in this area.
Well, I mean, come
on. We wanted to go in there, you know. that just made us want to go in there a lot more.
I mean, come on, it doesn't take, this isn't rocket science, guys, you know, it's like,
right.
Look at Sasquatch activity, Sasquatch reports, and then look on the map, and then have another map of these wildlife parks and wildlife reserves and refuges. Overlay them. I mean, come on. Either they were put there for Sasquatch, because in these areas you can't hunt. So either they were put
right,
there
yeah.
for Sasquatch, or Sasquatch just found them, and I mean, come on, do the math. Either these areas were put there for Sasquatch, or Sasquatch just walking through the woods one day, found them, said, oh, this is a nice area. Oh, I don't think there's any hunting here. I'm going to sit here. Come on. Which seems more reasonable?
You know what's interesting is our little place where we go, after finding Bigfoot, very next week, the very next week, we were back up there after they left, you know, and there was a gate. There used to be never a gate, the gate I was telling you that gets locked in the winter.
Yeah.
That gate is now there. Now, they have 100, 200 yards of pipe fence going from that gate, you know, and you can't get in there. I mean, you absolutely can't drive in there. You can't four-wheel drive around the gate or nothing. I mean, you can't go in there. And we're hearing now that there's some kind of frog or something that's endangered.
They want to
shut off the whole forest where you can't go in there hiking, you can't hunt there, you can't do anything there. And
so
I heard they're closing it all down.
So in all this time, they just now found this frog that was endangered.
Right.
You know.
That's what the story is. I think it's Agenda 21, but, you know, a lot of people don't know what that is. If you don't, Google it, Agenda 21.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I think that like maybe they might, like Jeffrey Gonzalez, my partner, my host for the show, he kind of thinks that they're closing it off for when the government finally does their, military whatever, puts military law and martial law on everyone. And where are you going to escape to? We would all escape to the mountains. Well, if you can't go in the mountains, then you can't escape there, right? If there's gates and fences and everything keeping your four-wheel drive out and your trailer and everything, you got to hike in, and then you're more prone to, the weather and dying, not making
right.
it. You'll come out. You'll come back out after a certain amount of time. And it, or it's either that, or like you said, it's not the frog that they're gating it off. It's the Bigfoot they're gating it off. There has to be something to it, but we haven't
but
figured that
then again,
part out.
I mean, yeah, of all those Sasquatch reports throughout the world, throughout the United States, I should say, I mean, they're not gating off every report. So, I mean, I don't know,
no,
man. You know, really,
around here,
it's really kind of unless they know. Unless they know,
check like the other parts of the
Unless they know that there is large populations in certain areas, and they want to protect the large. I can see them sitting back and saying, "Oh, well, we're not going to worry about, say, Tennessee or Mississippi because." They're not that many there, and the ones that are there aren't really aggressive. But this area here, we're going to lock it down because there's a lot there, and they do get kind of aggressive,
Right.
I do believe that there's different temperaments to different areas. And here's another thing that I mentioned in a conversation I was having this week. It is possible... people were discussing the temperament of them, how some of them are mean, some of them are dangerous, blah, 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 blah. I do believe that some of them are more wild than others. I think that some of them are more adapted to humans and human activity than others. But at the same time, think about it, man. I mean, if these clans are out there, there has to be some inbreeding going on.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to lead to forms of retardation and different temperaments. I mean, you see it in animals. You see it, tigers. You see it in different animal species.
Yeah.
The inbreeding creates more aggression.
We've even thought of it like even human character. Like you have your Jeffrey Dahmer types,
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
or you know what I mean, like. Some humans, they don't feel emotion, and they're mean. And they could be the same way, these things out there. They might, one of them might be a Jeffrey Dahmer, and the other one might be, like, hug you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like that.
Yeah, I mean, and who's to say that they don't have pissy days, too,
Yeah. Well, no kidding, huh?
Yeah, woke up on the wrong side of the boulder, I mean.
No kidding. Actually, we've really kicked that around the campfire and stuff, that what we're talking about right now is that.
And, it's just another part of our conversation that goes back to use common sense, people, I mean, hell, my dog have a shitty day.
Yeah, that's true. It really, that's the truth, man.
And that brings up another subject, okay? I'm going to get off. Well, I'm going to stay on subject, but my dog. I have a lab that's pure black, okay? And people are like, well, how come we don't see more Sasquatch? Let me tell you something. My dog is pure black. He's at the edge of my property. There's a big spotlight above him, and there's many times when I come outside, I can't even see him, and I know he's there.
Is it a black lab?
Yes.
You know that the Bigfoot that I saw had the fur exactly identical to a black lab.
Well, that's my
point.
It was
the color and everything of a black lab.
That's my point. I come
so
out
he
on
could,
my...
That's how easy he could hide in the shadow, you know.
And see, I mean, I smoke cigarettes, and I smoke outside. So I'm outside pretty often, you know, all hours. And I come outside on my porch, and I know for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, that my dog is over there in that area. But yet I still sometimes can't see him.
Right.
And there's a big spotlight. I mean, I can take a picture of it right now for you. There's a big spotlight. And I'm not talking a spotlight. I'm talking about one of these big street lights that the county puts out right above him. So.
Oh, and still can't see him, huh?
Yeah. So it is not impossible to think or to say that a Sasquatch could be out there at night and you not see it. Because you don't know that he's in that area, for one. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know,
did you listen to the show we had last week?
I don't believe so. I know where my dog is, and I still have troubles finding him and spotting him. Now,
right.
If I'm out in the woods, I don't know where a Sasquatch is, so
right.
I could see where that would be a factor. I'm trying to word this correctly. What's in my head?
It's like this. On our show last week, we had Kathy Strain. They have a place in Oklahoma. She wouldn't give the exact location, but they found where the Bigfoots are, right? Now, they're all packing guns. It doesn't scare them away at all. But she said she saw one in a big bush.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it let go of the branch and it was gone, right?
Right.
But she didn't see it run away from the bush. It just, like, when the bush branch, you know, flipped back up, she couldn't see it anymore. And
right.
It kind of had her scared because she didn't see it. And it wasn't very far from her, like 40 yards, 30 yards, something like that. So the husband and them, they were off over here by a campfire, and when they came back over to her, she told her husband, hey, go over in that bush. There's something in the bush, right? And I didn't see it go out of the bush. So he goes over there, all the way over there, and he pulls the branch back and looks down in there, and then he comes back and tells her it was a couple of logs.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of logs down there, but that's all, right? Now, they're sitting around the campfire and everything, and she keeps watching the bush.
I did hear this.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden that thing got up and took off, right? Later, and she's sitting there, all sitting there, and she keeps watching the bush. Then all of a sudden that log jumped up and took off.
Yes.
And when they went back and checked the bush, the logs weren't there anymore. So he was, like, within arm's reach of a Bigfoot looking straight at it in the day, and he didn't even see it.
That's exactly my point when it comes to these people who say that Bigfoot are dangerous. First of all, I like to call them Sasquatch. A lot of people call them Bigfoot. But first of all, here's what I think. I think that these things are around us and see us a lot more than we will ever imagine.
I agree.
And if they truly wanted to do us harm, they could, they would, and there wouldn't be shit that we could do about it.
That's right.
I'm going to get to the government part of it, but I really don't think they want to intentionally do harm to us. You know, there's a whole thing out with the missing 411. I was kind of I haven't read the books, so I'm not going to sit here and claim to know what the books are about. I have watched videos. I watched you guys when you had him on your show as a caller.
Right.
I watched a couple of other shows. That's going to be another show for me and you to tackle too in the future, hopefully. But I don't think, and it could also be, I'm going to put this out there, it could also be specific to certain areas. You know, but
right.
I don't believe in general that the mass population is dangerous and out to get humans. Now to the government part of it. I think the government knows all this. I think they know that they could be dangerous, and there may be some clans that are dangerous in certain locations. I think that may be one of the reasons why they don't want to put it out to the public. I think that it's kind of like the UFO. It's kind of like the UFO thing, where they're like, nobody's gonna believe it anyway. Let Melba catch them with her DNA. Nobody's gonna buy it anyway. You know, I believe a lot of reports are also disinformation by possible government officials to make people think, they're crazy. I believe, you know, and people talk about these hoaxers. How do you know that these hoaxers, like Todd Standing, Rick Dyer, the guys in Georgia a couple of years ago, how do you know that they weren't put up to this
by the government?
Exactly.
Like, I almost think that Rick Dyer would be paid to do it. You know, I mean, he was too good, you know what I mean? I mean, how did he think all that stuff up all by himself and pull it off twice? I mean, how did he do that? He had to be well-financed and he had to have, like, a really good plan.
It's just like the whole Area 51, the alien thing, you know, and it's been reported so many times they put out disinformation just to put doubts in people's heads and throw it all out and, it's a joke, I don't believe it, blah, blah, blah. We really don't know. Okay, now I'm not saying proof, I'm just giving out some theories. We really don't know. But I believe that's one reason why I know the government knows about it. I have no doubts. But I believe that may be one reason why they don't put out. Plus, think about it. You know, if we knew that there was a large, possibly dangerous hominid creature out there, people wouldn't go out into the wilderness. They wouldn't go do the things they normally do. They'd be always looking over their shoulders. You'd get these groups of dumbass rednecks who would think, I'm going to go out there and hunt it and shoot it, and I want a trophy on my wall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It would completely change hunters being out there alone. Hunting season would take a hit. Not to mention that's a lot of income. That's a lot of income. The parks, the hunters, all that. So that's a lot of income. Not to mention the religious ramifications it would have. And which is also the reason why they don't come out and say, there's UFOs. Because then guess what? They have to go and try to describe all this and how it correlates to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then people would start doubting the Bible. They start doubting religion. They start doubting that their government has been truthful to them.
They'll find out that it's even more real than they thought. Like all the people,
right.
I was just reading these guys. HGTV cancels the show because the stars are Christians, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's the world is going in the way where if you're a believer in Jesus or whatever, you're bad, right? In some places in the world, they'll cut your head off. It's going the way of the dark side or something. If they had to like tell you that maybe these UFOs, they're not aliens. They're the actual fallen angels, the ones the Bible describes as the powers of the air, right?
Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
wrestle against flesh and blood. You fight against spirits in high places, powers of the air. Things like on our UFO reports, these things could go from 15,000 miles an hour to dead stop, right? And then disappear, like I was saying, the Bigfoot could cloak. It will disappear in front of your eyes and reappear somewhere else. I mean, it is, if they had to come out and tell you what the actual thing is, it may shock everyone to find out that the Bible maybe was all true and all the other stuff was a lie to make you think it wasn't. You know, I mean, that's just what my research shows me. And I even have a group that I belong to, and we even interviewed the guy. He actually believes Bigfoot is the Nephilim, right? The offspring of human and demon, or fallen angel. And
well, now
the Bible talks about giants in the land and all this stuff, you know.
I have heard his belief. I have heard that Sasquatch could possibly be the offspring of Cain from the Bible.
Yeah, that guy Matthew Johnson that I was telling you about earlier, the doctor that 6'9" had the one cloak. He actually was saying he put up a thing on in his group where the Bigfoots were reading his mind and he wouldn't allow it. And
well,
if you read
the descriptions of Cain and the punishment,
it would go with it.
Yeah, I don't personally believe that. As I said, I believe they were already here long before humans were. Now back to the government, if I can finish real quick.
Sure.
How can I put this? If all this were to come out, we would lose faith that our government was actually doing its job and truthful with us and could protect us. They've covered the lie for too long. You understand what I'm saying? There's no way they can come out with it now. UFOs, Sasquatch, whatever. There's no way they can come out with it now because then people realize that their government has been pulling the wool over their eyes all this time. The UFOs in particular, we would question whether our government could really protect us or not. It would cause a lot of anarchy.
Oh boy, sure would. Well, I think everybody's waking up.
Our government wants us.
I think people are asking questions now.
Our government they want to keep us subservient.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
they do that with money.
You don't let cattle, you don't let sheep, you don't let them know that they're going to the slaughter. You know what I'm saying? You don't when you're slaughtering sheep, you keep all the other sheep away from that so they don't hear and see and realize what's going on.
That's true. And that'd be like how we are right now. I don't think anybody has any idea what's going on. Or even, I think they're just now waking up to how much freedom they lost with 9/11 and all that. I think everybody was feeling pretty unsafe, and then they made laws to make it safe, and now they're finding out that all the laws really took away freedoms, and now they could spy on you and tell you everything, and pretty soon they could probably tell you Bigfoot's real and you can't do nothing about it, And just because they made all these laws,
I don't think that'll ever come out, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know.
I think some of the ones like that are cloaking and the ones with the glowing eyes and stuff like that, I think maybe that's the ones that they have been messing with, and they're mixing them into the population, And maybe they're because these kind of stories start happening when we have that kind of technology. They didn't have them way back when, But there's weird things like that I can't explain. Like we were tracking one on the top of a ridge. And, when you're on the top of the ridge, the trees aren't growing. We're above the tree line. There's only some low bushes around, but it's a wide open area. And we're following these tracks that are probably about, 10 or 11 inches. They look human, completely human. I mean, you couldn't tell the difference between that and a Bigfoot track and a human track. That's how much it looked like a human. It was so much so that we were arguing you know, it was me and my friends were arguing. It was like 2 years after I saw a Bigfoot, and my friends just thought I had lost it, you know. And I took them back up there, and this is what we found, these tracks. And we're following them for probably a quarter mile on top of this ridge. And then they just stop. Right? I mean, there's nothing. I mean, the tracks are going along, and then all of a sudden, there was no tracks. And, you know, we looked and looked and looked, and we couldn't figure out where it went. And most of them said that, you know, it was somebody running around without shoes. But it's still, how did they get away?
All right.
You know, where did they go?
Here's my theory. I'm going to put it out there. We're not going to talk about it too much because I want to save it for a future show. Okay. And a lot of people might think I'm crazy. I don't care, really, to be honest with you. Do the research is all I can say. First of all, if you're familiar with the ancient Sumerian text, the oldest written text we have, ancient Sumerian, about the Anunnaki who came down to Earth. They needed gold for their atmosphere to save their people. They came here. They saw what was here. They took what was here. They combined it with themselves, their own DNA, and created a slave race of workers to mine the gold.
That would be maybe the Sasquatch right there, right?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Myself, I believe the Sasquatch, the more primitive ones, were the originals. And we, think about this now, just bear with me, follow me. And we were created from combining Sasquatch DNA with alien DNA. Okay, think about the physicalities of a Sasquatch. Okay, they're large, they're hairy, okay, and they're hominid. Now, think about all the descriptions of an alien, in particular the gray. They're hairless, they're hominid, they're bipedal. Now, combine those two, you have the grays, which are supposedly about 4 foot, with the Sasquatch, which is supposedly 7 to 10 foot. All right? Combine those two, what do you get? Something in the middle, which is about 6 foot. You following me?
Oh, then that would be us.
The aliens had no hair on their bodies. The Sasquatches did. We have some hair on our bodies, which is kind of in between. I mean, it's not that hard.
That's interesting.
It's not that
hard
to
find. That's a good place to go and research, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, that's a good place to start.
And we can definitely talk about this on a future show. But, you know, people who are listening.
I'll definitely be looking into it, man, because that I sat and talked with, you know, the Ancient Alien guys, right? And
yes.
Jason Martell.
Giorgio.
You know him, the one with the Baghdad battery, Jason Martell?
Yeah, Giorgio.
He's one of the Ancient Aliens? Yeah, I don't know Giorgio, but I know Jason. And I sat and actually talked with Jason about the very things you're talking about right now and his theories and stuff like that. And I've researched it, and you bring up something new. I mean, I am going to look into that. That is interesting.
The first place to look is to familiarize yourself with the ancient Sumerian text about the Anunnaki. Study all you can about the Anunnaki. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, I think you're right. I mean, I've researched it a lot, where I actually believe aliens aren't aliens. I actually do believe they're the fallen angels.
Because they came here, they saw what was here. They knew they weren't able to control it. And they couldn't get it to do what they wanted to do. So they took it and used it to create something or someone that could. Now,
yep.
Throw in all
Who
these...
Who could that be? Me? No. But I'm not laughing at you. I'm just saying.
Well, no. I mean,
I think you're right on the money.
Well,
tell you the truth.
Check this out. I done lost my train of thought. Someone typed to me on Facebook.
I had to quit looking.
All right, check this out. I remember now what I was going to say. Okay, there's a lot of reports of UFOs and Bigfoot in the same areas and whatnot, correct?
Yeah.
All right, there's a lot of reports of UFOs monitoring us, correct?
Oh, yeah, and abducting us, yeah.
All right, now check this out. If you were the alien race, you came down, you saw Sasquatch, you said, hey, I'm going to take them, mix them with me, and make this whole other race. And then you got the slave race, the worker race, to do everything you wanted it to do. And then you left. You would be coming back occasionally to see how that slave race has developed without you. So you'd be coming back checking on humans and saying, whoa, man, they really took off. Holy cow. You know, but what about the original mold? Let me go check on them and see how they're doing, if they have advanced as well as this new race. So you would be going and checking out the Sasquatch 2.
Yep, and you would find they didn't really develop anything, not even fire.
Or you could be still using them to create other things on other worlds, because their base DNA was so good.
And I'm going to go a little bit backwards a little bit, like when you're talking about the gold. Is that why gold is so valuable to the people? You know how everybody places all their value on it, and man, everybody's mining it, and they get gold fever. You know what I mean? And maybe they'll come back and we mined it all out, you know, and we use it as whatever. They could just come and collect it all up at a later date.
You know that gold doesn't originate on Earth.
I didn't know that.
You want me to tell you where gold comes from? It comes from exploding stars.
Oh, wow, really?
All the gold on our planet came from a star or multiple stars exploding. That's how gold is formed. That's what makes it so valuable, so rare. And throw in the fact that it's a very soft metal. It's highly conductive.
Yeah, and it doesn't, like, what do they call it, you know, like copper and silver, it gets
it,
that.
Yeah, it'll never.
Stuff
it'll
on
never,
it, you know.
It'll never fade.
Yeah, there you go.
So it makes sense, since gold came from the stars, the heavens, if you will, that beings from the stars would value it just as much as we do.
Well, I never could figure out why everyone, currencies on it and everything. You know?
Yeah, and for those of you who think I'm just blowing shit out my ass, look it up. I challenge you, look it up.
Yeah, Google it. There's a lot on that. It is. It's a lot of reading, but it's there.
Look up the origins of gold. And I promise
you'll find
what I'm talking about. So it all comes together. It all meshes together. It fits perfectly. It's all the puzzle pieces are there. You just have to go and research it and find it and put it all together. Now, listen, guys. I'm not saying that I am 100% correct. That this is,
you just have a good theory.
The bottom line, hard truth. I'm just saying that it's very, very peculiar. And guys, I don't mean to be doing certain things. I have stomach issues, acid reflux and whatever, and I'm sorry if that come through over the sound, the mic. But do the research. It's all there. I mean, I don't know what more to say about it. I don't know, honestly, you know, other than...
I,
the answers.
To me, it's intriguing that, you know, you talked about how they mix the Bigfoot and the and them, okay, to make us. What makes it where they couldn't have made it where we like gold? You know, and we'll be digging it up for
thousands of years.
We're digging it up, right? And they, we're on automatic pilot, right?
I'm going to answer.
We're automatic on. And then they come back later and say, wow, hey, look, they did a good job. We're going to collect all up everything they dug up. We'll be back again later after they take everything again.
I'm going to answer your question. Okay. They made us to mine the gold. To the ancient man back then, they were the gods.
Right.
Okay, follow me. They wanted the gold. So obviously, since the gods wanted the gold, then gold was very, very rare and valuable. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Since the gods want it so bad, there must be something great about it. That's where...
Yeah, but I mean, then, like today, say, you know, I know some people that are treasure hunters, and man, you know, they'll go and pan and pan and pan. I mean, it's almost like it's like...
because we know that it's valuable.
Obsession, you know what I mean? It's an obsession.
Yeah. We learned, humans learned long time ago, possibly with these extraterrestrials, learned a long time ago that gold was extremely valuable because we saw the gods using it and wanting it. And taken. That's why if you go and you look at, do the research, look at the Egyptians, all the gold that they amassed to their quote gods. Look at the Mayans, the Aztec. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you can even go back further than that. You go to Africa and like they call them, they say that maybe this guy never even existed, King Solomon. But only they found King Solomon's mines in South Africa.
Because,
ancient, like, mines that nobody knows who was doing it, you know, at all.
It was instilled in us. It was taught to us. I mean, we were collecting this for the, quote, gods.
Right.
Why? Why? First of all, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Think about this. What the hell would a god need with gold?
Well, I did some research on that, and,
supposedly, truly
their atmosphere needed it.
Right. Now we're talking. Okay, but that's extraterrestrials. I'm talking about God. If it was a real factual, and I'm not saying there isn't a god. I'm saying these gods that these ancient civilizations worship, if they were real factual gods, what would they need with gold? They're gods. They can make gold. Why would they have to come here and get gold from us? Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's true. Oh, yeah.
So that, to me, that's evidence there that they weren't really gods.
That's interesting, man. Real interesting.
Because, I mean, you know, I'm not going to go out in my yard and plant a garden and say, and somebody say, why are you planting that garden of corn? And say, oh, it's for God.
Yeah,
What does God need corn for? He made the whole planet. He made the corn. Surely if he can make more for himself if he needed it. So why would a God, I'm not saying the God, I'm saying a God, why would a God need gold from humans?
Right.
When they created the universe, if they're truly a god, then they had a hand in some type of creation, and they could create it themselves. So, you see those
That's
little
interesting.
You see those little things up in there hidden away.
Yeah. Well, man, I've researched this a lot. I know exactly what you're saying, but I never put it together like that. You know, all of it. But only if they Google it, it is there. You know, I was always looking at it from a different
viewpoint.
Well,
then again, it goes, it goes back to that one commercial. Everything on the internet is true. They can't post any. Okay, you have Google it, yes, but be very selective and make sure everything has a lot of research, a lot of crap. What's the word I'm looking for? Whenever you do research, you have to give credit to where you get the information from. Yeah, make sure that's all there. Don't just go to Billy Bob's alien theory site, you know?
Right. No, I know. Like, you can go and read the Book of Gilgamesh and the Book of Jasher, and you can read about the ancient technologies that, like, the Egyptians. There isn't a whole lot on the Mayan thing, but, I mean, there is some, but enough to, like, tie it together to what you're talking about.
Well, you know, somebody posted something the other day that I found, and this is completely off subject. We are getting way off subject.
But it's fun, ain't it?
Yeah.
And interesting.
Somebody posted we could go on all freaking night if we needed to. But somebody posted something the other day about the book, a missing book from the Bible by Barabbas.
Yeah, I saw that.
And how it claims
it was made out of some skins, and it was like saying a whole different story of Jesus.
That he wasn't crucified, he was just a prophet, that the church made it out like that. How can I don't want to get into religious debates. I really don't.
Right, yeah. No, but, me either. I never win.
But it's
that's even more, when you get in those, it's more of a stronger belief than the fights that they get in over Bigfoot.
I've done a lot of research, a lot of religious research. And do the research. I mean, that's really all I can say. Do the research.
Yeah.
On religion, on church, and specifically the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm not trying to, believe me, I'm not trying to break anyone's faith at all. You know, I believe that there is one God, one being that created everything. I don't buy the whole church aspects of it. I don't particularly buy much of the Bible aspect of it either, because the Bible was written by man. Man is flawed. Now, if there was a magical golden Bible somewhere that fell from the sky and was proven to be written by God himself, then that would be a different story.
That's the Mormons. No, I'm just kidding. Not picking on anybody, but only that's what they say. Now I've researched the Bible thing, and I'm not going to go on any religious side or anything like that, only just the validity of the actual book. Actually, you're probably not. You might, you know, everybody's interested in this because actually the truth lies somewhere in what we're talking about.
I'm the kind of person, Alan, that I don't just take what someone tells me or what someone says at face value. I actually say, okay, I want to find out for myself. So I'm going to go and I'm going to dig, you know, and that's all aspects of my life. I look deeper and you know, you guys, I'm not saying not to be religious. I know that there are great benefits to it. I'm not saying there is no God, because I believe there is. I just don't buy the whole church congregation.
Neither do I.
All that.
I actually say, question everything, man.
I don't believe everything. I don't need organized religion to tell me right from wrong and how to be a good person. And I'm not faulting anybody that does, mind you. I just, me personally, I don't need that, you know?
Yeah,
we completely We completely dug
ourselves. That is a really good subject. It is good. Somewhere down in your research, and if everybody researches down through this stuff, is the truth somewhere. That's the part that's hidden. That's the part that the church you talked about probably is skewing. And even the other churches, you know, they put their spin on everything, so nobody knows what the real truth
is. Well, the Catholicism in itself, I mean, Vatican City is grand. A lot of nations actually take what comes out of Vatican City, what the Pope says, as they really take it to heart and they really listen to
it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, the most people in the world follow that. And the second one is Muslim. The second one is Muslim.
I mean, my theory on it. Well, see, that's what this whole book of Barabbas says. It and